thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? One, two, three, four.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
And the home of the stars is now back in the forefront again, bringing you Mountain of Blackenite. And out of the Blackenite, he drew the strength that comes out and makes this mountain has been in from hundreds of millions of years. Mm-hmm. And no one knew where it was. They only knew where the white mountain was, where Kryptonite came, right. Where the white Superman came.
Right.
All right, now we were digging in the arms of Africa, back into the mountain, the Kilimanjaro's, and then there it was, the Blackenite mountain.
I love the blackness of it.
How much more black could this be? And the answer is... none.
Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Well, hell, sign me up for that.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Yep.
Roll another one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
Just, there's so many poorly chosen words in that sentence.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is just H's way of saying hi.
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Why do you smoke marijuana?
It's really very simple. I smoke it because I enjoy it.
Let's pass it around.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
And now,
drugs ruin lives, people. Drugs destroy careers. Take Cheech and Chong. Everybody knows that Cheech and Chong are funny, but just imagine how funny they would be if they didn't smoke pot.
Our feature presentation.
I so miss The Office.
I do too.
That's a great show. last night, I know you guys were talking about this yesterday off the air. Lisa, you know, she's great at hoarding shows. She's got the self-control to not watch a show because she knows it's going to be lean times down the road with the writer's strike and she'll have something to watch, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every new show that you watch now is like a little precious jewel.
It is.
The last one you think you'll ever get. So I actually had the debate last night. You know, a new Grey's Anatomy tonight, I think this is the very last one they shot. I mean, there aren't any more for
really?
Them to air, right? And I thought, do I want to watch it tonight? I really haven't seen it in so long. I really want to see it. But should I save it? Because I'll love to have it in 2 weeks. But I caved. It's like putting cake in front
it?
Of me, man. I watched it. I know. I shouldn't have.
Damn,
now I feel
you.
Dirty. Guilty.
That was a mistake. What are you going to do this weekend?
See, that's
I know.
The problem.
It's a desert out there,
and,
my friend.
And no one knows how long this desert is going to go on.
And he just drank his last glass of water.
Right. So you find a glass of water, you got to parse it out. Is that the right word?
Yep.
Parse? Yeah,
yes,
you got to parse
is.
It out over a lot of time to make sure that
nope.
you can.
Make I chugged it.
Sip.
Oh, you got to get sick.
I chugged it.
You got to get sick on Grey's Anatomy.
It was great. I mean, I felt I was satiated. Sated. I was sated. That's what I was. But
you were
sated. Sated, but then I realized afterward I just had this gut, this feeling in my gut, like, oh, it's just like when you eat too much,
yeah.
You know, you just go,
yeah.
Oh, what did I do?
Why'd I do that?
And the other question, by the way, while you're talking about TV and the writer's strike, is there are new shows that seem to be, you know, coming on, like, for example, the Terminator TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which I've
there
seen.
There are a few coming, yeah.
Which I've seen and I like. You know, do you jump right into it? Because how many do they have? And are you going to...
Good question.
run out after three episodes or whatever?
I'd go online and do a little research, my friend, before I dove into those waters.
And you can find out how many of them they have? Or yeah. I don't know. I mean, it seems like a bad time to start a show unless you've had it in the can for a while.
I've been desperate. Right. I've been watching everything new and things that I've never watched, like The L Word. I watched an episode of that. I thought, well,
you should watch that.
Yeah, I can't watch it. It's not good.
Well, really? A little bit.
It's not good. I can't watch it.
But what else?
Cashmere Mafia started up.
What's that?
With Lucy Liu. It's sort of
That looks horrible.
Sex in the City knockoff.
Oh, wow.
Kind of awful.
I'm out.
Awful.
Really? Wow.
So bad. I can't watch that. I can't watch just pure crap.
Well,
You do find yourself watching things that you probably wouldn't have because they're new.
Oh, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm trying everything.
You may not be necessarily thrilled with it, but it's at least it's new. Yes, lady.
Guys, from a guy's point of view who doesn't watch much TV, you all sound like mental patients.
Yeah, we are.
You sound like big babies.
We are.
But it's crazy as hell.
But it's a habit, Lightning, that we've gotten into over many, many years, and it's a huge disruption in it. I mean, everybody has a schedule. Everybody has their nights and their shows that they look forward to. I mean, for instance, when I think Tuesday, I think House. Well, now Tuesday rolls around, and I'm like, well, there's no House.
It just sounds sad. You guys sound so sad.
Well, we're pathetic. There's no question about that. We're pathetic people.
Okay.
But I'm a little bit different in that I usually don't watch the shows when they're on.
You never catch up.
I TiVo stuff, and then I try to watch it in the afternoon or on the weekend or something like that. So, like Bean says, Tuesday night's House, I don't really think that way because I record it automatically, and then if I have time, I watch it. That kind of thing.
Right.
I TiVo everything and watch everything an hour later. That's what I do. That's my thing. So I watch it on that night, but not live.
Because then you don't have to watch commercials.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am burning up my Netflix queue, I'll tell you that. I mean, that thing is just rotating in and out like nobody's business.
I am running through The Wire on Netflix.
Which the Wire is good.
Such a good show.
Oh, good call.
Oh,
and
that's
then I'm
so
going to go to The Tudors after that.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen
that
yet either.
By the way, The Wire just came back for their fifth and, I think, final season on HBO.
I did. They did a special on HBO. Did you see that?
Yes, where they caught you up from all four of the other years.
I didn't know McNulty was English.
Hmm.
The main character?
I didn't see that part.
Has an English, like a super heavy English accent.
What does it sound
so
like, Lisa?
Jarring. But when I first read my script, I was quite interested in doing it.
Nice.
And I didn't know if I could do the American accent, but as it turns out, I'm excellent at it.
That's a great show, The Wire.
Yeah.
And there's four seasons already on DVD, I think. I know there's, So
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
The fifth came back, and that's a good one to catch up on.
Absolutely.
To start, even if you haven't seen
it. Well, maybe Lightning's right, we all are retarded, but I will tell you that it does fill my every waking moment trying to figure out what to do, how to get through it.
I think you're unique in that. I don't think it fills all of our every waking moments.
But I eat at home and I live alone. So that's when I watch TV is during lunch and during dinner. And it's got to be, I can't not. I can't.
Because
I can't.
Okay.
There's no way.
Must watch TV. Must watch TV. Gotta watch TV.
I have to be entertained.
You could just be like me and watch nothing but unscripted TV and you'll be just fine. Hasn't affected me one bit. Best TV ever lately.
Well, I do have the remaking of Miss America coming up. Right, we got some Friday nights.
What are you watching that doesn't require writers that's good?
The best shows on TV, History's Mysteries, Modern Weapon.
anything on the military channel.
Anything where people get dominated.
Or History Channel.
Anything World War II related. Hitler's Youth. I watched a documentary on that last night. The development and history of the Saw. I watched that. It was awesome.
Hello, Little Bean.
You mean the saw that saws wood?
Like a saw, dude. Yeah.
What a horrible show that must have been.
You have no idea how it's changed mankind.
I don't
care. The saw. It was dope.
And did they have books that you could go to the library and check out for more on that subject?
Yes.
Possibly.
Yeah, Mike goes overboard that direction. I can't really.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't go that far.
I am reading more. I've read two books this week.
I'm finding myself watching stuff on like Comedy Central. They have our stand-up shows and stuff like that from comedians.
That's good.
You can catch up on that stuff, and that's always, funny. But
it's
kind of sucks.
Anyone see the Jimmy and Jay swap last night?
No, I taped it. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
watched both of those.
Oh, did you? How was it?
They were, they're in the same boat. I mean, these are guys who do not have writers and are having a tremendously difficult time getting guests. It sounded like a joke when Jimmy said it on our show that they're having trouble. But I really got the feeling that they were so happy to have such a big name guest on their show as the other host.
But, I've never seen that before. We're competing hosts. They don't compete for the whole show. I think just the last half hour is right. Jimmy's first half hour. But Jimmy Kimmel on Jay Leno, and then Jay Leno went on his show. That's so bizarre.
Are they going to do this weekly?
Well, it was funny. That was one of the jokes that they made as Jimmy was saying goodbye to Jay on his show. He said, hey, this was fun. We should do this. Jay said, we should do this every week. And Jimmy said, we may have to.
Oh, my God.
But it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, and it's the 11th of January. Speaking of new TV shows, Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles this Sunday. Actually, it's a two-parter, this Sunday and Monday night.
Great.
We're going to talk to Lena Headey, who is, she plays the mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty good show. I watched a couple of episodes of this. Yeah, it's good.
I'll TiVo it, thank God.
Just have to find out, you know, how many they
have.
I
need a primer on the Terminator, I got to tell you. I'm guy who's never who knows nothing about anything to do with Terminator, except I think some of you voted for him for your governor.
Yes, we did.
That's all I know about that series.
Yeah, we can catch you up pretty quickly when we talk to her.
Do you need to know? Or
yeah, it helps. Yeah, because it's a little bit confusing if you don't understand why they're coming back in time and all that crap.
All right.
So we'll talk about that. We got the movie beat today, as it is Friday. Find out what movies are in the theaters. Speaking of movies again, National Treasure 2, Book of Secrets, just passed $1 trillion. And we have Justin Bartha, who was in that movie. We have him today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah.
The NFL playoffs we're talking about.
I believe, and we'll check the tape, I believe he predicted correctly all four victories in the NFL playoffs, round one last weekend. And I'm very eager to hear what he has to say. And do my Seattle Seahawks have a prayer against the Green Bay Packers on the frozen tundra?
Oh, I so hope not.
In Green Bay.
I hope
I know, just like last week, everybody, the nation was rooting for the Redskins because of the tragedy in their camp. I know everybody wants to see Brett Favre win a Super Bowl and then retire. I know everybody wants that. But that would be inconvenient for Seahawks fans.
Also today, we're going to talk to Ed O'Brien of Radiohead.
How about that?
Wow. Talking about the new CD in Rainbows, talking about possibly some more some tour information as well. So,
great.
Yeah. Sounds like it's happening. Sounds like they're coming here. So I'm very excited to talk to Ed. He's awesome.
If you are a hardcore Radiohead fan or you know a Radiohead fan, let them know that this is happening about 7 o'clock this morning so they can tune in. And we're running out of time because our Breakfast with Foo Fighters is Monday morning, and we've got more tickets for you to win this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Man.
See, it's not Friday, you guys. It's Foo Day. Come on.
Nope. No, I'm rejecting that
Can't
one.
Can't do it.
Foo are you? That's good. That's strong. Foo are you? God, I can't wait till this breakfast is over because everybody's obsessed with putting foo in any other kind of word they can.
You can't wait for the breakfast at the Foobador?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Exactly. On Monday, we're going to be at the Foobador. All right. It's 5:43. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beatnik. Right now, it is time for the Showbiz
Beatnik. I wish we had waited a couple weeks to do the breakfast.
How come?
Because then we could have done it in February.
Oh.
Nice.
February. That's when we could have done it.
Now, Kevin, when you say set your clocks because the breakfast is at 8, you mean
alarm or whatever. Alarm
to remind yourself. Wake up in time.
It's spring forward, foo back.
Oh, that's what it is.
You have to adjust your clocks.
Wow, this is going to be a long day.
It certainly is.
Kevin, why do you want them to set their alarm? Is it because you might make their dreams come foo?
We're going to foo it. Kevin and Bean are having breakfast, but you'll have to be on the guest list. We're gonna make your dreams come foo. Foo it in our way. We'll pick up the phone and call you. You better answer if you don't you. We're trying to make your dreams come foo. Foo it in our way.
Come on.
Wow. Okay, that's fine.
There's more?
See, this is why you people are going out of business.
You don't have to tell me. Oops, sorry.
Now what are you doing?
This bad thing.
Tease.
Take the buttons away from Kevin. Of course, we told you all day yesterday you can still go to KROQ.com this morning and tell us why you're the biggest Foo Fighters fan. We'll be calling people starting next hour and getting them tickets for Monday's breakfast. It's 5:52. Friday morning, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Feel excited about the Foos if you want. Who could blame you? But as you may
have picked up on by now. I'm excited about the release next week of a little movie called Cloverfield.
I haven't heard you say anything about it.
Oh, I cannot
Why don't you mention this stuff,
movie. Can't
Ralph?
Wait for this freaking movie to come out. It is, of course, from the mind of J.J. Abrams, the man who gave us Alias and Lost and so many other fantastic projects. And we have a special K-Rock advanced screening of Cloverfield. You get to see it on Thursday, January the 17th, as opposed to Friday when it comes out. So you get to see the monster before anybody else, and I just think that's so cool. I get the sense that J.J. has taken a page from Spielberg's book and is going to Jaws us. He's going to just keep the monster off the screen for as long as possible. Ah. He can't wait anymore, and then he's going to give it to us.
I just can't tell what it is.
Yeah, which makes it much more suspenseful and much more dramatic that way, and I think it's very smart of him to play it that way. Because it's a lot more horrifying for you to see the head of the Statue of Liberty roll down the street, knowing something has just knocked it off its body,
right?
Than to actually see it happen, because in your head you can imagine what the power of that thing must be.
Yeah, you go
like,
through all the things that could do that in your head, and you come up with zero.
Well,
what the hell could
Star Jones? Maybe.
Yeah,
you know, she could.
That's
but there's a limited
it.
List. Yeah. Anyway, if you'd like to go, I have two pairs of passes to give you right now. Be the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through. Get a pair of seats at our K-Rock screening of Cloverfield on Thursday at the Grove. So, I just can't wait.
You're going to have to, though.
I want to get a time machine and just go now. Let's take a look at the celebrity relationship beat, shall we? Apparently, John Mayer and Friday Night Lights' Minka Kelly are no longer dating. People Magazine report the fun couple have quietly called it quits after a brief romance. But, of course, as is always the case in celebrity world, they remain good friends.
Aww. That's great.
Sure. Nobody ever breaks up and says, I hate that bitch.
Nope. Not in Hollywood.
Stay close.
It's always
they're married or whether they're dating. Everyone's just friends, friends, friends.
I was starting to tolerate John Mayer. I used to hate him. Then I was indifferent. And then I started to like him. And I appreciate that he's an excellent musician. But now I realize he's a tool. Anyone who would leave my Minka, I'm sorry, does not deserve to live on this earth.
Maybe she left him.
Yeah.
Well, then he wasn't doing what it was necessary to keep her happy. And that makes him a tool as well.
Okay.
All right, then.
A couple engagements to talk about. James Gandolfini, of course, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos, has proposed to his girlfriend of 2 years, Deborah Lynn. Oh, by the way, she's a fashion model.
Oh.
He's James Gandolfini. I don't know
he's
if
he's a fag.
I don't know about that, but if you watch the last few seasons of Sopranos, you know that James was close to reaching critical mass.
Yeah.
He was ready just to have his own gravitational field.
He was huge.
And you'd watch him have sex on the show as Tony.
Yes.
Big, hairy, sloppy body, sweating, and just...
You had to turn away. It's the only thing on The Sopranos you had to turn away from.
I'd rather watch guys get their heads blown off and Ralphie's head being stuffed into a bowling ball bag, but I couldn't watch him have sex. It was just too rough.
Did you notice in all the last two seasons, he always had his shirt on in any sex scene?
The wife beater on if nothing else.
Just couldn't take it.
Well, his boobs were always bigger than the hookers he was picking up.
And once again, she's a fashion model. So just goes to show you, fame and money, people.
Giddy up.
That's what you need. And this is shocking and disturbing, this particular engagement. New York. Of I Love New York fame.
Yes.
Yes.
Is engaged to TaylorMade.
No.
Who's...
TaylorMade is the dude she picked on the second season of
You're
I Love New York.
Kidding.
Apparently, she actually found love.
She got engaged to the dude that won the show.
To TaylorMade.
It's New York, though.
New York and TaylorMade.
It'll never last.
Is she just saying that so that now VH1 will give them another reality show so that we can follow them planning a wedding or something like that? Because you know what a TV whore she is.
If she was a TV whore, she wouldn't marry the dude so she could have a third season of I Love New York so she could try to find another dude.
I guess.
I'm sure that they'd rather go with a tried and true hit than try something new.
Mm-hmm. I don't see much of a relationship working out with her after seeing her on that show. This may break up long before
Kevin,
they ever get married.
She just does it for the TV.
Oh,
she's
I
not
see.
Really like
it's
that.
Just the editing?
Yeah.
It's the editing.
I see.
It's a character she plays.
Yeah,
all
like
right.
Omarosa.
He's one talented Negro.
Yeah. If she came to our breakfast, she'd be Foo York? Pamela Anderson is
that
denying.
Brought my mind to a complete halt.
Pamela Anderson is denying the fact that she is pregnant from Rick Solomon.
Well, good.
So that's good news.
Time will tell.
Actually, she posted a one-word letter to her fans, no, on her website yesterday after word started to spread that she was once again knocked up. Shorty has two sons, of course, Brandon and Dylan from Tommy Lee, and she said, that's enough for now. So, not pregnant.
Good.
So everyone exhale. Someone who is pregnant, Jamie Lynn Spears, is apparently pinching pennies to save for her unborn child's college fund or something because she has cheesed off the staff at a Mexican restaurant outside of Kentwood, Louisiana, her hometown. The New York Post reports that she and a friend went there to eat a huge meal and then stiffed the waitress, did not leave a tip.
Good for her.
This family's just class all
they
the way around.
They sure are. Know what they're doing. They're
Ralph, where did that story take place?
Kentwood, Louisiana.
Are you sure it was in Louisiana?
Come on.
Guys.
No. Just no.
Can there be some internal screening, Mike, where you go,
Louisiana!
I think, Louisiana, and then go, that's not quite up to par. I'm going to leave that one out.
That was up to par.
All right.
Up to his par. She makes pretty decent basic cable TV money, I would imagine. That show's been successful, right?
She
can afford it.
Yeah. I'm sure she gets a chunk of the Zoe merch, too, so I'm sure she's got a few bucks. But, you know, when you're 16 and you're probably never ever going to work again and you have to raise a child, maybe you need to hold back that tip money or formula.
A couple bucks.
Diapers and stuff.
Can't be throwing that around.
Tyra Banks says she's the loneliest woman in show business.
Whore. She's earned it.
She did an interview for Essence magazine and says she feels very fulfilled while at work at her daytime talk show, but comes home to nothing. And feels so empty at the end of the day.
Good.
Drama queen.
Ooh, I guess suicide's the only answer, Tyra. It's the only thing we can figure out. So why don't you just take your own life in the as messy a way as possible.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
Mike just held up a sign and said, would that be fooicide if she killed herself?
All right. Come on.
He's now doing it silently behind Kevin's back, so Kevin won't hit him.
He does that to me half the time, too. He holds it up. It's just for you, not for anyone else.
Fooicide.
How long is today's 5 hours going to seem, you guys?
20.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's so happy about it, too.
Giddy. Speaking of Victoria's Secret models, Adriana Lima. Has released a statement saying the reported sex tape on the internet is not her. Everyone, please stop speculating.
That.
She is still very proud of her virginity. And she said she doesn't even believe the girl in the video looks that much like her, but it is not her. So we have had our dreams squashed.
By the way, the girl in the video does kind of look
kind
like her.
She does.
And well, that's good enough.
She's not having fun, though.
Can't
I'll
pretend.
Tell you that.
No, she's not enjoying herself.
Not really.
What she doesn't realize is it doesn't have to actually be her to be enjoyable if the girl looks a little like her because she's really, really hot.
Right.
Yes.
So we want more girls just to look like her, and we want to watch them all have sex. So that's good enough for me.
There's not much left of that girl in the video's virginity, I'll tell you that.
No. She's used up every bit of it.
Yeah, that has evaporated.
Katherine Heigl, Izzy.
Yeah.
From that show that people watch.
Grey's Anatomy.
That's
Anatomy.
It. Yeah. Did an interview with E! Online telling us what she believes makes a marriage work.
Okay.
How long has she been married?
Wait. About a week.
Okay.
Shut up. Shut the F up. Communication is the most important factor to making a marriage work. Shut up. Let me communicate this to you. F you. You've been married 4 days.
Let me tell you how we've stayed together all 4 days.
What an accomplishment. You survived the honeymoon? Put your face on a stamp. Stunning. The level of self-involvement some celebrities have. That we want to hear her opinion on marriage. Holy crap. And it's time to check the rearview mirrors. Make sure you look both ways before you change lanes. Michelle Rodriguez is out of jail.
Oh, no.
Now, she did a 180-day sentence. She got served a 180-day sentence for violating her probation on DUI charges. And although she didn't get the deal that Nicole Richie or Lindsay or Paris Hilton got, she got out after only 17 days.
Wow.
Now, wait. When this story broke, Ralph, wasn't this judge like a hard ass who said, you have been a repeat offender, this 180 days must all be served, and there's no possibility of getting out early for good behavior?
Yes. But what it was once again a case of overcrowded jails.
Yeah.
She was in Linwood, and they said, we simply don't have the room. We got to cut somebody. And so they started taking people out who had served a certain amount of time of their nonviolent charges, and she was one of them. She checked in on Christmas
Eve. Verdict, mind-blowing.
Checked in on Christmas Eve, and then was popped about 17 days later. So she's out and about.
Hmm.
Okay.
Raise a glass to Michelle Rodriguez. And I heard you guys bitching about television and the lack thereof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to watch. And the reality shows now are just like a virus going to just take over our television.
That's true.
They're going to spread like a malignancy and just everything's going to be reality TV. They're starting to bring back shows they haven't had in only 3 years, reality shows.
Like
bringing back The Bachelorette.
Oh, no kidding.
ABC hasn't aired The Bachelorette in 3 seasons.
Really?
But they need programming, so they're blowing the dust off it. And they're bringing out a mothballs to be back on the air. So we're going to see more Bachelorette this year. And the two Corys have been signed up yet once again.
No,
for another season of their reality show on A&E. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, the guys from the 80s, will be back together again. Which is a surprise considering they're not speaking to each other anymore, but
yeah,
I'm guessing they'll work that out on television.
Wow.
It was unwatchable.
That was bad. Corey Feldman had that band, and he thought he was God. Remember that?
Every level. Both of them just completely unlikable, and the wife of the one bitching about the other. And it was a horrible, horrible show that will return.
Yeah.
You know what I've done? God bless the magic of technology. What I've done now is I've loaded up on box sets of shows I've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep.
And so when you want to watch an episode, just sit down and pop in a DVD.
That's
Christmas, I got the entire series box set of a show called The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the older show.
That's an old show from the 60s when the James Bond craze was really in high, full swing. They did a TV show, a spy TV show called The Man from U.N.C.L.E., sort of like an American version of James Bond. And I had never seen an episode of it because they didn't really rerun it that much.
Right.
I've always been curious about it, so I'm starting to watch it.
That's
it's outstanding. It's a great show. So that's how I'm feeling right now.
We were just talking a minute ago about The Wire on HBO, which
that's
is a great
show.
And there's 4 seasons of that.
You can go back to the 60s and stuff you haven't seen all the way up till now. There's stuff on box sets. So it can be a little pricey, but it can give you hours and hours of entertainment. That's what I've been doing lately. Today's celebrity birthdays, Phil Spector, record producer, murderer?
Hairdo.
Yeah. He is 67 years old today. Or hair foo, I guess it would be.
Yeah!
Got a crazy hair foo, you could say. Record producer?
Yeah!
No.
Could we say that?
No, you would yell at Mike for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lars Ulrich from Metallica. He's their drummer, of course. He's 44 years old today. Chris Daughtry, lead singer of Daughtry, is 28. Former American Idol contestant. And Jared Leto. Actor and musician. 30 Seconds to Mars is his band. He is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tom Cruise is at it again, saving lives. Thank God for him. If Tom Cruise were not here, many, many more people would die.
And I
sure.
God,
and that's such great news that he's helping out, and that's why we got him on the phone this morning. Good morning, Tom.
I love saving people.
Now, Tom, we want to talk to you about how you always seem to be in the right place at the right time to save lives. But before we get to that, this story that has making a lot of news this week is excerpts have been released from the forthcoming biography, an unauthorized biography about you and your family, written by Andrew Morton. Do you have any comment on that?
And Foo Morton?
he is good.
Yes.
He's plugged in.
This guy's done books on Princess Diana, Madonna, David and Victoria Beckham, and now the one on Tom Cruise is coming out, and especially the part where he suggests that maybe Suri, your daughter, was conceived with the sperm of L. Ron Hubbard.
Kevin. Don't be glib. That's ridiculous. How could L. Ron have fathered Suri?
Frozen.
He's frozen?
No, I'm saying they could sperm. Freeze a sperm.
Oh, no. No. He had a desperate fear of his sperm freezing.
Is that right?
Yes. He used to wear a heating blanket around his penis at all times.
I didn't realize that. I
had never heard that.
A little tiny blanket. It looked like a hors d'oeuvre.
But I think what people are suggesting, Mr. Cruise, is that you're so high up in the Church of Scientology that this is the type of thing that they would do for you, is allow you to have the spawn of the religion's founder.
No. I am the father of Suri. I have so much sex, so much heterosexual sex with with my wife.
Right.
That you wouldn't even believe it. You go, wow, that's a lot of sex.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why did your first wife, Nicole Kidman, why was she unable to get pregnant with you, and now she's carrying Keith Urban's baby, and you guys had to adopt? What's up with that?
She was stuffed up.
Stuffed up?
Had,
I'm sorry?
She had a clog.
What are you talking about?
Is that a Scientology term? Or
no,
what?
No, she's something wrong with her plumbing.
Well, and now it's fine?
Now it's fine?
Well, they must have roto-rooted her.
It's not, we're not talking about a toilet.
Something.
So you're saying that it wasn't your fault?
No. I had plenty of heterosexual sex with hers, too.
Okay.
Tons.
And you're very fertile.
My sperm lifts weights.
Does it really?
Yes.
Wow.
I have like a sperm circus where sperm will do tricks and things that your head would explode if you
were okay.
All right.
Speaking of your, by the way, the book is not out yet, but it will be soon. Speaking
and
of
by
your,
the way, I'm suing him for $100 million.
$100 million. I saw that in the news. That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. Okay. And I'm going to have him murdered. Moving on.
Speaking of, wow, I'm going to have to check the tape on that. I think I heard you say something that's incriminating. Yes, Tom. I'm right here.
Don't be glad.
Okay. Speaking of your sperm lifting weights, what about you jumping out of a car and pulling a woman's car out of a ditch? She was stuck in the snow. I mean, once again, Tom Cruise, the rescuer, the hero, in the right place at the right time to save somebody's life, because surely she would have frozen to death on the side of the road if you hadn't come along her.
Yes, once again, a poor woman was stranded by the side of the road in Telluride, Colorado, and I saw her, and I pulled over, and I pulled her out, her car out of the snow and got her to safety.
And then put out a press release immediately.
I did not. No, I don't know how anyone found out about it, but it was my pleasure to help people, because that's really what I'm here for. That's what I like to do. I like to help people.
Forgive us for questioning this, but it does seem like the fifth, sixth, I don't know, seventh time that you've been in the perfect position to save someone's life?
No, actually, I've done it hundreds of times.
Well, shaky.
Really?
Hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times.
These are just the ones you found out about. That's why I don't publicize it. I don't like to go around talking about how I save lives, but I save lives almost on a daily basis.
Now, on a daily basis.
Yes.
This particular woman
was... Hey, watch out for that banana peel. Okay, have a good day. Yeah, I just saved a life.
You just saved a life.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you're using the word saving lives a little flippantly, maybe, you know?
Kevin. Don't be glib. I've done the research. I know about saving lives.
Okay, but this particular...
Did you know some people save lives as a street drug?
That doesn't even make sense.
No, it really doesn't.
This particular woman was waiting alongside the road, but the police were there with her waiting. They were just waiting for a tow truck, and you pulled them out. How is that saving her life?
Because those cops could have been rogue cops who played by their own rules.
Oh, I see.
They could have been loose cannons.
And what would they want to kill a woman on the side of the road who just got stuck in the snow for?
Because she knew too much.
About what?
The corruption in the police department. The small town corruption in that police department. That they were on the take. And that she had documents that she was going to take to the state district attorney. And turn over.
There's no evidence of any of this, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but it could have also been a good cop that was hanging out and waiting
for...
Or
a good cop, bad cop. And maybe one was going to rough her up and the other one had to take her statement. So they sat her down and they would make her sit in the snow and get her vagina all frostbitten.
Okay.
Anything could happen. But I protected her from that because I got her car out.
I see.
And we add this to the list of the little kid that you pulled out of the crowd at the movie premiere. And then there was the other guy who used a fire extinguisher to put out a fire on his boat. I mean, it's just like every week it seems like there's a new press release from you that you've saved a life.
There's so many you don't even know about. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And this is added to the people who call you in the middle of the night so that you can help them get off drugs?
That's right.
Wow.
What about Vanilla Sky? I made Vanilla Sky to save people's lives because they'd go and say, God, that movie was so horrible. My life isn't so bad.
That
so
was awful. Commit suicide. That was a terrible movie.
And what about Oprah?
Yeah?
The whole reason I jumped on her couch was to see if it could withstand her weight.
Oh,
if she were
I
to
see.
Sit on it. I had to test it because with her giant ass, she could have sat on it and it would have broken and then a piece of the couch probably would have pierced her spleen.
See, that's so you saved Oprah's life. Okay.
Sometimes I just prevent disaster. I don't even have to be there when it happens. I can think ahead and prevent it.
Wow, so you're a real-life superhero.
one time in Stuttgart, Germany, I was in a steam room at a spa,
right.
and it looked like a guy's towel was way too tight, was cutting off his circulation.
Right.
So I ripped it off him, and then I gave him mouth-to-mouth.
Oh.
I saved his life.
Was he passed out? He couldn't breathe? What?
No. He was appreciative.
He was fine. Okay.
I bet he was very happy with it.
All right.
He was pleased. Okay. By the end of the encounter, he was smiling.
I got you.
Okay.
Happy.
But you heterosexually saved his life.
Of course. Why else would I do that?
Oh, I just want to make sure we all understand.
You have $100 okay. million in your pocket?
I do not.
Then
no.
Just don't shut the F up if yeah. I were you.
Okay.
I will sue you. Oh, God damn it, I'll sue you.
All right. I want you really
suing.
More... Oh, you'll more sue me than you'll sue me, though, right?
What?
Yeah, you heard him. You heard him.
Beam, 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 beam.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the update. We appreciate hearing from you.
Don't be fool.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Well, Kevin, maybe you're right. I mean, this has been your theory all along, is that it's blown out of proportion. Nobody ever is in enough circumstances to save that many lives, is what you've always said.
Yeah, it just seems odd. It seems self-serving, you know, like once, twice a year, somehow he's right at the perfect moment to pull someone from a burning car. That just seems odd. So then we started talking yesterday about people who save lives, and I asked the people in the room, how many opportunities have you had to save a life?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us, I think, if we saw somebody on the side of the road that needed to get pulled out, I think most of us would stop. I don't think that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But Dave came in, said he saved three people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning came in and said he saved two people's lives on different occasions.
Yeah.
Right.
Bean, I don't think you've ever been in a position to save a life.
Somebody would have to fall in my house in order for me to be there. So that's unlikely to happen.
I never have either. And that's what I was saying is I don't really...
Somebody saved my life once.
Was it Bean and I when you started working on the show?
No.
Oh, you were drowning?
I was drowning in the ocean, and they grabbed the thing inside of my bikini and pulled me out.
Oh. Wow. Oh, whoa. I have to save that for another day. I want to hear that story.
I need to be a lifeguard. Hey, it's the only thing I can grab. Leave me alone, woman. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. How many opportunities have you had to save a life? It can't be more than one.
But well, true. But, I mean, of the people here, having two people that have done something, that's kind of amazing.
It is. Yeah, it's shocking to me.
Yeah, me too.
But it's also balanced out by the guy that kills bums behind me. So
that's true.
You know, it's plus one, minus one. You just got to look at it that way. So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. You've had chances to save people's life. Now, my problem would be I wouldn't notice.
Sure. The person on fire on the side of the road.
Because I'm not real.
Not paying attention.
Not much, no. But if I did, of course. I mean, anyone should do that.
Yeah.
And anyone would, I think. I don't think Tom Cruise twice a year. Bite me. So we'll take your calls when we get back on.
Think you mean Caro Few, by the way. That's what I think.
Nope. Nope.
Foo, by the way. Caro Foo.
Right, that was what
I
said.
It's not any of those things.
It's neither of those.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
We're going to give you some tickets for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters coming up next. We'll start calling people who have entered at krock.com that are big Foo fans. That's coming up. Andrew Siciliano talking about the NFL this weekend and Ed O'Brien from Radiohead straight ahead. Right now, though, we're talking about saving lives. You're not a professional. It's not your job to save a life, but you were like Tom Cruise, right guy in the right place at the right time, and somehow you saved a life. Kevin thinks you should have just driven on by if you had the opportunity to save a life. That's his advice.
But I just think most people that save lives don't put out a press release, and you only have so many opportunities to save a life in a lifetime, and Tom Cruise seems to be way over that line.
Okay, but regular people don't put out press releases because nobody knows who they are. Nobody cares.
Right, but...
If you're famous, they care.
Okay, I'm going to go back to this is the guy who says people call him in the middle of the night to get off drugs.
Look, I don't
Doesn't
believe
it seem like
him.
Maybe there's a little bit of an exaggeration problem going on here?
Yes, I agree with that.
All right, Russell in Costa Mesa. Good morning.
Good morning.
You saved somebody's life underwater. You saved life.
Yeah, I was scuba diving with my buddy in 40 feet of water, and he ran out of air.
Really?
And 40 feet is too low to just shoot to the surface.
It's pretty low. I didn't know what was going on right away. He pointed to his regulator, and I said, you know, what, you can't really talk to him. And then he used a mouth chopping motion on his neck, and I knew he was out of air. And then he reached for my regulator, and I pulled it out of my mouth and gave it to him, his mouth. He breathed, and then I breathed, and we worked our way up to the surface.
That's just the opposite of what my friends do. I was scuba diving, and one of my friends turned off the tank of air. So I started freaking out, and I didn't know what to do. And he reached over and turned it back on, and he was like, oh, just kidding. And I was like, oh, that's
awesome.
Funny. Way to go.
Hey, Russell, what did you make him do for you when you guys got back up to the surface? I mean, clearly the dude owes you.
Oh, I didn't make him do anything. I wasn't sure I saved his life. He insisted that I did, but you know, it was just part of what you're trained to do. So
you are trained to do that. You go in pairs. You're trained to do that. But it's different when something happens than when you're training for something to happen.
Of course,
yeah.
You got to keep
that's
your head.
That's a
good
story, though.
Thank you, Russell. Well done. Let's talk to Patty in Roland Heights. She's online too. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Patty, you had a dramatic life-saving opportunity, didn't you?
I did. My friend and I were driving down the street in Berkeley, and all of a sudden the car in front of us screeched to a halt, and a guy leans out the window shooting into the car next to us.
Oh, man!
And, yeah, there was a guy and a girl younger than I am in the car, and so I pulled over to the side. We waited for the guys with the guns to leave, and I got out, and I went over, and I tried to do everything I could to help them.
So where had they been shot?
The guy had been shot in the back, and the girl had been shot in the shoulder and in the neck.
Oh, wow.
Did they make it?
The newspaper said they made it. The cops wouldn't let us know anything about them.
How about that? Have you had any other opportunities or just that one?
Just that one, really. I helped save a baby one time when she was coming out of her mother early, but.
Really?
Well, that's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise has about one a year, so it seems a little high.
Yeah, right, yeah. Patty. I'll keep trying.
Thank you, Patty. Yeah, step it up if you want to, please. Let's go to Van, who is calling us from Covina. Good morning, Van.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks.
My story was whenever I see that Sheriff Sikorsky helicopter flying with their bay door open and the guy, you know, sitting over the side with his legs dangling when they're flying over the storm drain, that tells me they're looking for somebody floating in it. I was sitting on Idaho Highway in Covina right above one, and I saw that helicopter going upstream, and I looked down, and I see two kids floating downstream. And at that point, the helicopter still hadn't seen them. So my thought was they were going, I don't know, about 10, 15 miles an hour in 2 or 3 feet of water, and you could tell they were scared out of their wits.
Right.
So I just jumped out of the vehicle, and as I was running to get ahead of them, I was flailing my arms, you know, wildly hoping that they were going to see me in a helicopter.
And you got hit by a car going in the opposite direction?
Now, you know what? I just left my car running right in the middle of the street. I mean, there was no time for, you know, anything like that because I knew about a mile and a half downstream was a trash separator. There's no way, you know, those kids would have survived, so... My thought was I wanted to run down and get ahead of them because there was a bunch of houses along there, and I was going to, you know, yell to somebody to throw me a garden hose or something in case the helicopter didn't see me. Well, by the time I got I saw the kids, I looked down to them, you know, just to let them know somebody was there to try to help them. I looked up. Thank God the helicopter had circled around.
There you go.
So I kept on running down, and, you know, he had lowered down and went to grab the one kid, and he missed. And I remember he looked right at me and held his arms like up, you know, like, whoops.
What are you going to do?
You know, they ended up plucking that last kid out 50 feet before they got to the separator. Now, I don't know if they saw him because of me running out or not, and I may never know. But, you know, all I know is if it were my kid floating down there, I would want somebody to do whatever they could to
absolutely.
Try to
I think that would be a solid yes. I'd say that's life saving.
It sure didn't hurt, I'll tell you that, man. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right, let's go to...
Let's talk to Chris on line 5, because we're almost out of time here. He says he has saved 6 lives.
Wow.
Chris?
That's Tom Cruise worthy right there.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry if it sounds like I owe you too much, if that's the case.
Yeah, you know, some people love too much. That's the problem. now, was this 6 separate... things?
Six separate instances, sir.
Oh, man. You're,
you
you're,
sit on a throne of lies.
You're approaching Tom Cruise yearly total.
Or he's a firefighter.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just give you a quick rundown because you're running out of time.
Yes.
Okay. First one was a cousin in a pool.
Okay.
Did not swim. Second one was at a beach. I was off duty and kid didn't know how to swim.
Are you a lifeguard? Or were you a lifeguard?
Yes, I used to be a lifeguard. I was working as EMT and firefighter at one point. So
You're a professional, dude. See, that's the problem is you're stocking the pond.
Yeah, you might as well be a doctor and call in and say you save lives. That's your job, dude.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's just do one more. Let's try Cindy and Whittier. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks.
When I was a little girl, my parents, they had the first built-in swimming pool in our block, and they had a big party for the neighborhood, and all the adults were drunk and having a good party. Anyways, and I looked down in the pool, and there was a kid floating in the bottom, and I was only 5, and I knew how to swim. So I went in there, and I got the kid and pulled him out, and he was only, like, 3, and he was drowning, and everyone's like, oh, you saved him, you saved him. And I'm like, I did. But, yeah, I saved the little kid.
How about that?
And I was
wow.
A hero at 5. and didn't even know it.
That's awesome.
Your life peaked at 5. It's been downhill ever since, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it kind of sucks,
Cindy.
Actually, yeah.
Best song ever about date rape, by the way. I'm very pleased to be able to offer that to you this morning as you wake up on a Friday.
Of the many, many songs.
Sure. How about Ed O'Brien, rhythm guitarist for the band Radiohead, coming up in about 20 minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Andrew Siciliano looking at the NFL games this weekend for the playoffs, round 2. And Ralph's got the movie beat. All of that straight ahead. But first, we're turning our attention to Monday morning's Breakfast with Foo Fighters right now.
Matter of fact, we're going to make your dreams come foo.
We're trying to make your dreams come foo. Fooing it our way.
We asked you to go to krock.com and email us a description of why you're the biggest Foo Fighters fan. I know we've been playing games all week. Sometimes it's tough to get through, even tougher to win. So we're looking for huge Foo fans that need to join us on Monday. Plus, we'll give you tickets for March 6th at the Forum ahead of them going on sale tomorrow morning at 10. And we've got just a big stack of them. Now, Kevin, didn't we say if you don't answer, if you're not there, we yep. move on, right?
We move on.
So these should be all big Foo Fighters fans who are Hello. Waiting for the...
Hello, we're looking for Erica.
That would be me.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Good. Hello, you sent Erica. Us a picture, Erica.
Yes.
You have a giant tafu on your back.
Oh.
I'm fantastic. What can I say?
You got the big Foo Fighter logo, the FF, or maybe it's Fred Flintstone. I don't know what your deal is. But
oh,
you apparently are so big a Foo Fighters fan that you had their initials tattooed on the back of your neck.
I sure did.
Now,
what can I say?
How many times have you seen them?
I have only seen them twice, but I will be there March 5th.
Oh, okay. You already got tickets?
Yes, I did.
Oh. Well, we have tickets for you for March 6th.
Yes!
So you can see them twice in a row.
If you're going to have tattoos, you really do need to see them more.
Might as well.
Awesome. That's Thank true. You guys so much.
And we will see you at our breakfast on Monday morning.
Yes, thank you!
And you need to come with questions prepared.
Oh, I will.
Because
that's
how we do it. We have you help ask the questions for our Breakfast with Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. Erica, awesome. we need to ask you one more thing, and that is please introduce yourselves to us so that we can show the band your tattoo during the course of the breakfast show, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Hold on.
Thanks for writing. See, that's how easy it is. You tell us you're a big Foo fan, and we make your dreams come foo.
You know what this is, Bean? That's it.
All right. Well, this is another call that we're going to make right now to another K-Rock listener who needs to be there on Monday morning at the Fubador.
You know how everybody has the list of people that you can have sex with and your mm-hmm. spouse should not
sure.
be angry? It's like yeah. a celebrity list. Hello, is this Serena?
Yes.
Hoffman?
Yes.
Kevin and Bean here.
Hi.
You sent us an application to come to our breakfast, correct?
I did.
Dave Grohl is your fantasy person.
Absolutely.
On your list that your husband cannot be upset about if you have sex with him.
Absolutely.
Now,
Kevin,
I want to ask
you the same deal, don't you, at your house?
With Dave Grohl?
Yeah. I didn't know if you meant I was going to. Yeah. he's on my list,
that.
Too,
I know
oddly.
He is.
Yeah.
Serena, I have to ask you about something else in your email. And yes, you have won tickets to the breakfast on Monday. And
Woo!
Yes, we will also give you tickets for March 6th at the Forum. How about that?
Yes.
But you said that when we had him and Taylor in the studio last time, you called in to talk to them, but it didn't work out. What happened?
I had a complete anxiety panic attack. I was so nervous. I hung up the phone. I couldn't do it.
Wow.
So what's going to happen to you what's going to happen to you Monday when we go to you and say, Serena, here's Foo Fighters right in front of you, 8 feet away. What's your question for him? Are you just going to melt?
I hope not. So bad. My coworkers were teasing me about this yesterday. What happens if you get picked? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not going to get picked anyways. And they're all right,
well,
pass out.
We're
oh
picking you now, so you get to go Monday.
Yay!
But again, I don't think we want people in the audience who are going to have a panic attack and clam up and not say a word.
Exactly.
That's not what we're looking for.
He'll never forget me, obviously.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm just afraid the paramedics are going to need to be called. Look, we need you to get a big picture of the band, put it on a mirror in front of you, and like practice all
yes.
weekend long so that you're ready for Monday, okay?
My cubicle's covered with them, so I'll start practicing today.
All right.
Okay.
Look at the pictures and ask questions as if it's them.
Oh, my God, I can't believe it.
Well, we will see you on Monday morning.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye now. We have more tickets coming up here on
Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to showbiz stories here, can I just take care of some business real quick?
Yeah.
I got an angry email this morning, and I want to see if I can talk to the
King
listener.
Brittany?
No, I wish. This is a listener, Heather. She got a problem. She's got some problems.
Oh, no.
With
she turning to you for help?
Yeah. Not me so much, but she's got problems, I think, with Dave the King of Mexico.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
Heather?
Yes.
Hi, Heather. It's Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show on K Rock.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I need to go to the bathroom because I'm at work.
No. Okay. and they hate us at work?
She can't take this call. I love that.
Well, right. I'm not even allowed to be streaming, but I do
what?
It anyway.
We can't hear a word you're saying, Heather.
We're not allowed to be streaming, but I do it anyway.
Oh, you stream anyway. God bless you for listening to the show.
Yeah.
All right. How long do I have to wait till I can talk to you?
Okay, I'm good.
Well, you can talk to her. She can't talk back.
Heather, you sent me an angry email this morning.
Yeah.
What happened this morning? What was up?
I called at like 6 o'clock.
Right.
And you said be caller 1 or 2.
Right, because I was giving away passes to the Cloverfield screening, the K-Rock Cloverfield screening.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I called, and then I heard a familiar voice go, hello, and then I hung up.
Hello.
Hello.
Yep.
It was the King of Mexico, huh?
Yep.
And he hung up on you.
Yep.
Well, honey, he's Mexican.
Yeah, I know.
We have no control over that.
Hey, you're lucky he didn't bang you the way he's been going lately.
Oh.
But why did you want to win the passes so badly?
Because my boyfriend's a total, Cloverfield Star Trek geek, and he's been talking about it like crazy, so I just wanted to get him for him.
So you're trying to do a nice thing for your boyfriend?
Trying. Well, I got hung up on.
I apologize for Dave the King of Mexico's rudeness, and I want to give you a pair of passes to Cloverfield, okay?
Shut up.
All right, if you insist.
Thank you so much.
No problem. You know what I'll do? We got your number here, and we got your email address. I'll send you all the information, okay?
Oh, my God, thank you so much.
All right, go back to work.
Okay.
Keep streaming, though.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I love people that stream.
They just with the wrong Mexican.
Yes, they did. Dave answering phones, hanging up on people. Got to go around clean up his mess all day long.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare.
Not paying attention anymore now that the holidays happened, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got
something else on his mind.
He's getting a regular bleeding. He doesn't need doesn't need to work any longer. That's the problem.
And he's not have sex the day before, he comes into work.
That's right.
We didn't need Dave mellower, I'll tell you that. That's not what Dave's life needed, is mellow.
It's true. I am giving away tickets to a special K-Rock advance screening of Cloverfield. Much like Heather's boyfriend, I have been waiting for this movie for months, and I'm very excited it's now here. If you'd like to go, be caller 18 right now. Caller 18, since it opens on the 18th, 1-800-520-1067, and you'll get a pair of passes to go see Cloverfield, the advance K-Rock screening at the Grove. It's going to be quite the event, and it's going to be a good show. Good times. Here's the showbiz news. Why does Fox hate us so much?
Why does
the Fox Network hate us?
Why do they
What
hate
are
us?
They doing?
First, they broke us the news that Ryan Seacrest was going to be hosting the halftime show on the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's
By the way, the latest I heard was he was going to be doing a red carpet.
Yes. Before he's doing a pre-show and the halftime
show. A red carpet for celebrities so he can ask them what they're wearing.
No.
That's what I heard.
It's going to be way gay.
Yeah.
They're taking the Super Bowl and they're just peeing all over it. That's what they're doing. I'm furious. Well, it gets worse. TVGuide.com is reporting that they have added to the halftime entertainment for Fox, the Super Bowl telecast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Paula Abdul.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now
that's good.
That's good.
Her
is she crazy?
Performing is good.
Oh, she's singing?
I'm telling you.
She's singing?
Yes.
Oh, and dancing,
bad.
I bet.
That's way bad.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Wow.
She's got a new CD, apparently, that she's working
on.
Nope.
And she is going to be performing at the Super Bowl. And Fox is going to make us watch it.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Ew.
Wow.
Ryan Seacrest and Paul Abdul. Yeah, Fox, we know. American Idol, your biggest show, huge show. We get it.
Coming back.
Stop it. Leave us alone.
It's the Super Bowl.
Have Dave Grohl perform. Then at least it could be the Fooper Bowl.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Nicely done.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the NFL pulled the game out of the Super Bowl because they didn't want to be associated with it? We're going to go have it over here. You go ahead and have the Super Bowl. We're going to move the game.
After further review, we decided that the performance on the field no longer stands. We're canceling the whole game.
Here's the problem.
Seems kind of gay.
Sports fans, you know what happens with the Super Bowl. They got you. They have the football fans. So they're trying to get everyone else with all this gayness.
But don't they owe us, the true NFL super fan?
You would think.
First and foremost, don't they owe us
you would think.
A show that we would enjoy? It We're the ones that watch every Sunday. We're the ones tuning into Fox, watching the games every week.
I know.
We've been there for them for 16 weeks. They owe us.
Ryan doesn't even know how to get the puck across the net.
Yeah, right.
For God's sake, it's football.
Doesn't shoot out a three-pointer with the high lie ball and swimming
water polo.
Oh, I'm just furious. I don't know if I can go on, but I'll try. Speaking of football, this is creepy on many levels. Star Magazine is reporting that Dallas Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo gave his...
That's funny. You said homo.
I'm sorry. What?
I think it's Romo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Tony Romo. He gave his girlfriend Jessica Simpson 12 of his practice jerseys to wear to sleep in.
Yeah.
She likes to sleep in his jerseys. Here's the thing. They were used practice jerseys. The Star Magazine says she loves the smell of him so much she doesn't wash them when she wears them to bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Why?
They'd be stiff with sweat.
And other things. Knowing Tony Romo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go on.
A lot of his teammates' DNA would be on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Well, the news just keeps getting better about the Cowboys, doesn't it?
Hey, Ralph.
On Packers.
Yes. Is this going to be an unusual weekend for you that you'll be rooting for the Giants against Dallas?
Yes.
You don't root for the Giants very often in your line of work.
Look, they're both NFC East rivals to the Eagles, so what I'm rooting for is a mid-air collision as both of their team planes are flying in. But, in lieu of that, I have to go with the Giants, yeah. Because then the Giants will be the most easily team beaten by the Packers, and then the Packers can go, and I can relax.
Let's not assume the Packers are moving on, by the way.
Let's assume that.
Let's assume that. Let's make that a safe assumption, shall we? Go Pack. James Gandolfini, you know him as Tony Soprano, has just announced that he's engaged.
A fag.
No, he is not. He's engaged to his fashion model girlfriend, Deborah Lynn.
Wow.
It's good to be a TV star.
Come on with him and the fashion models.
Is it a plus-size fashion model?
No, she's a regular old skinny, hot fashion model.
By the way, that's the way this TV show was, too. They were all smoking hot, the chicks that he had sex with on the TV show.
Yeah, because they had guns on the TV show. You can see why a girl would submit to that. But this girl has a choice.
Yeah.
Cash. Cash is like a gun.
Is it?
Is it?
Ooh, that's true, Lisa. Cash is like a gun.
This would be a T-shirt or a bumper sticker or something.
Maybe I will.
Wow.
And even celebrities get man crushes. You know, I've got a slew of them.
Oh, yeah.
One
of them's on the show today, Andrew Siciliano.
Oh, love me some.
You mean Anne Foo Siciliano? Mm.
Move on. Just move on.
You know, I love me some Andrew Siciliano. Yeah. And, you know, I got a bunch of them. Unlike Psycho Mike, they're mostly non-sexual. But Christian Slater has admitting his man crush.
Okay.
In the British magazine Closer, he did a recent interview, and he said that he's pretty much got man love for Brad Pitt.
Okay.
He says, look at his work, his body of work, his charity work that he does.
Mm-hmm.
The way he is so balanced mentally and emotionally. And he's married Angelina Jolie. So.
He does seem to have it all right now.
He sure does. Yeah. He seems like a guy who goes through life and carries his stardom effortlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Like Clooney does the same thing. They just wear it like a tailor-made suit. They just go through and it doesn't seem to rattle them that much. And they don't seem resentful for it, yet they don't seem overly needy in terms of the attention that they get as celebrities. They're just very cool about it.
Yeah.
Something very cool about those guys. And Katherine Heigl is letting us know how to make marriage work.
Thank God.
The new bride to singer Josh Kelly. By the way, has anyone ever heard a Josh Kelly song?
No.
Does anyone know who Josh Kelly is?
Who's that singer?
They keep calling him music star and pop star and singer-songwriter Josh
Kelly.
Country
bean?
I have no idea who this guy is.
He's pop. I have a couple of his records. He's okay. He's okay, but he's not. Yeah, she's the way bigger star in that relationship for sure.
Catherine tells E! Online that communication is the most important factor to making a marriage work.
She's found that out through the years?
They have gotten through a week and a half, so she must have some secret.
A week and a half. That's how long they've been married.
Yeah. You know, the first week and a half, you know what the communication is? You want to do it now? Yeah. That's the communication pretty much level of marriage right at that point. And you want another pina colada when you're on your honeymoon? Yeah, let's get that. Where are we going for dinner? Here. That's communication.
But who's the a-hole that asked her that question? Why would anyone ask her what the key is after 4 or 5 days?
Maybe she volunteered. I don't know.
She said, Note to celebrities. Just know we're tired of hearing about your marriages and your goddamn kids, too.
I don't mind if Paul Newman wants to tell me about marriage.
Right.
He's been married for 50 years to the same woman. I'll take advice from him. But not Katherine Heigl, who just got back from Cabo, wherever the hell she had her honeymoon. Drinking pina coladas on the beach.
She said, being honest is crucial, even at the risk of being vulnerable, wrong, or overly dramatic. Shut up! Maybe I'll go to Pam Anderson for some advice. She's had longer marriages than you have, Katherine Heigl. And here's the thing about Katherine Heigl and Josh Kelly. Did not live together before they got married. Living together for the first time now that they got married. They came
this
back.
This is f***ing retarded.
Moved into their house.
They haven't even lived together. They have no idea the hell that they're in store for. I hear your advice.
Let's talk to her in 5 years.
Get some advice about a retainer. How about that? Advice for braces.
I like her teeth.
Oh, her grill's all hunked up.
Yeah. I like it.
Why do you like a hunk up grill?
I don't usually, but she looks sexy.
Eat corn through a picket fence. Today's celebrity birthday is Phil Spector, record producer and guy who shoots girls. He's 67 years old today. Lars Ulrich from Metallica's 44. Jared Leto. You know him as an actor and musician. And his band 30 Seconds to Mars has been at a few K-Rock events. He's 36. And Chris Daughtry, lead singer of Daughtry from the album Daughtry featuring the single Daughtry. He is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The Radiohead, Kevin, are they one of the most exciting bands in the world or what?
Yes.
They are back with a new CD.
Wait, is Ed joining us right now?
Yes, of course they are, right.
Then absolutely.
They are back with In Rainbows, of course, their highly controversial new album, which has not only been a huge download for the band, but is the number one album in America in the CD charts as well. It is in stores now, again, called In Rainbows. Ed O'Brien, guitarist from the band Radiohead, joins us here on the World Famous
Good Garden. Morning. Hey, good morning,
how are you,
gents?
My friend?
I'm very good. How are you guys?
We're very good.
Well, we're fine. What's it like to be talking to the press again, to be kind of back on the carousel?
Well, you know, with a number one album up there, it feels pretty good.
Now, this of course, was big news because you made it available for download, the CD, and people could pay what they wanted for the CD. Do you have kind of general numbers of how much people paid, or was there a high... You know, did somebody give you $1,000 or how many people took it for free? Do you have any of those numbers?
Yeah, well, the maximum that you could pay for it was £99.99. We thought we put a cap on it there.
Okay.
And as far as the breakdown of what people paid, I think it was about 50-50 on about, I think it was about 1.2 million downloads.
Uh-huh.
50%, about 50% paid, 50% didn't pay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so it was good. It was an experiment. It was a lot of fun to do. It was very exciting because no one apart from outside of the band and apart from three other people in the whole world knew that we were going to do it. So
right.
it was nice to drop that one.
Certainly. Why did you decide to do it? Besides the fact that it's fun and it mixes stuff up, why didn't you just offer it for whatever you thought was a fair price?
Because I think we wanted to... Firstly, there's a whole issue of... there's a whole generation out there now who expect to download their music for free, who get their music for free. And they're, you know, apparently in a lot of American college campuses,
right.
You know, they don't have CD players anymore. They got hard drives. So... We didn't want to. We don't want to criminalize them because this is, you know, this is another generation and this is what they do. And you know, who are we to say that that's wrong? And this is, seems to be where music's going. That, you know, the music, the recorded music, people are paying less and less for. And what people pay for now is, you know, you go and see a gig. They tend to be what people sort
right.
of want to pay for. So we wanted to sort of embrace that and. Sort of our management came up with a concept of like, you know, there's a hot, the industry's sort of up its arse about how much music is worth. And they've also done a lot in sort of in downgrading the price that people are willing to pay for it. So why don't we ask people, turn it around the other way and say, well, what are you willing to pay for it? So, you know, and we were in a situation, we're out of contract and it seemed to be the logical thing for us to do.
I think you'll appreciate this, by the way. Many of us here at K-Rock, who are big Radiohead fans, had pre-ordered. We're all excited about the day the download was going to be made available to us. And then somehow the CBS Radio spam filter decided that we weren't allowed to see those emails. So all of us paid for it, and none of us got it.
No. Oh, gents, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, they would, like, block it. They would go, we don't want you to have this. You're like, hey, wait a minute.
Now, Ed, Radiohead has, they're in the enviable position because you've worked so hard for so long at your career that you don't really have to make a lot of money off records. You can always go out on tour, you can sell merchandise, you can put out DVDs. There's any number of revenue streams available for you. But because of what you've done being so high profile, do you think it makes it a little bit harder for the younger bands coming up that don't have that don't have the history with their fans that you do?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of if they want to do the same thing as us, is that
right,
what you're
saying? Exactly. Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, but I think that, you know, I think that it could be a model in a different way, that you could, I mean, what's exciting now, certainly in this country, is that live music is the thing that everybody's really into, and there's so many bands, and what's really cool is, like, when we started in the 80s, like the mid-80s, the traditional route was that you go out and do loads and loads of gigs, and kind of records were sort of slipped in between in the initial stages. And I don't think that's really, really changed. I mean, I think that model, obviously it's a bit different because new bands don't have a history and don't have a track record, like you said. But I mean, I think that who am I to say, but I think that there could be a way for it to work for younger bands. Obviously they're not going to get the kind of revenues as
right.
we would get, but
sure.
You know, it's all about building up a big body of work and doing things the right way. So I'm sure
this
they
is
could.
Ed O'Brien is who we're speaking with, of course, from the band Radiohead. We're talking about In Rainbows, the current album. I don't know if this is a misconception that I have and that a lot of people have, but sometimes we get the impression that Radiohead is a fragile unit and that every record could be the last. We always get the impression that you barely scrape it together to just muster out one more release. What's the state of the group right now? Are you guys in a good place?
No, we're in a terrible place. we've got 5 number one records and we're still miserable.
Yeah.
No, it's you know what it is? It's we're not. There's a lot of strength in what we do, and obviously we've got a lot of history. But the reason why it's fragile, and I think this is a healthy fragility, is because it's not about what we've done; it's where we're at. And I think there's always an awareness of, like, when you start up what you do. Whatever you, when you start making a record, you know, like, for instance, we did this tour in 2005, and we played all these songs in live in front of audience, and we came to play them in America, and it was 2006, in fact, not 2005, and it was great. And we thought, right, we've got these songs nailed, and we go into the studio and we record them live, and they sound terrible, they sound really bad, and it's like, oh my god, is this how crap this stuff sounds? And I think the one of the big things on this record, again, and I guess it's a kind of a trend that runs through, as you said, is that we there are a lot of self doubts, and I think you know, we just want to continue making, as long as we continue to make a good record, that's fine. But there's always awareness that, you know, that there might be one day when we don't make a good record. And if we don't make a good record, that's the time to pack it all in. And there's no point doing it for a career, and there's no point doing the greatest hit sets and stuff like that. You know, it's all about being sort of, you know, current and doing it the right way, I guess.
You don't take good songs for granted. You don't have any idea when they're going to come, and you just hope they keep on coming, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're very lucky. I mean, Tom is an incredibly talented songwriter and very prolific. I mean, we've been rehearsing new songs this last week, and there's one of them which is just absolutely killer. And in fact, we might play it next week. You know, you don't take the songs for granted. I think what was great about this record, to be honest with you, is the lyrics and Tom singing, that he's really upfront, he's really direct, he's really emotional, you know. And he'd spent, you know, after OK Computer, those records from Kid A through to Hail to the Thief, Kid A and Amnesiac, they were veiled, they were hidden.
Right.
You know, he was uncomfortable in the position that he found himself. And then Hail to the Thief, they were kind of overtly political lyrics. But this is the first time for a long time since OK Computer and the Bends, that they're emotional, they're, and he communicates that pretty upfront.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that's one of the things that people have really connected with on this record.
Yeah,
I have a question for you, Ed, that I'm going to try to phrase in a way that you don't think it's meant to be insulting, because it really isn't. I mean, with all due respect.
Well, this will go well.
No, be direct. Don't phrase it in that way.
The band has changed. I mean, you listened to the first two or three albums compared to the last two or three. The band has definitely been on a journey. There's no question. I think a lot of that has been pretty well documented. Has there ever been a time in the group where all of the members of the band have not been going in the same direction, where somebody said, hey, I'm really into more of the traditional song structure, and the other guys have said, well, I'm really into more going in the esoteric direction, and there's been a little bit of a friction because of that? Because it's hard to get, you know, five or six people to go in the same direction at the same time for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, the thing is, thank God we're middle class. We never talk about it. You know, we don't communicate. So
good.
There have been times like that. I mean, but then you see, for instance, on Hail to the Thief, I remember thinking at the time, wow, this is a really direct record. It's been a while, hasn't it? And then a really good friend of mine who I've known since school saying, you know, the really interesting thing about this new record of yours is there are no standard arrangements. You know, there are no verses and choruses. And I'm going, hang on a sec. I thought they were all pretty straight ahead. And and so, you know, I think that of course we push and pull in different directions, but that's the strength of the band. I mean, I think that, you know, I come from where I come from personally is my sort of musical breeding ground was that whole post-punk thing when you had stuff like XTC and, you know, The Police and, you know, and these were bands that were within the pop format, were trying to do really interesting stuff but it was also being sort of fairly upfront. And whereas Johnny for some who's probably going to be nominated for an Oscar for his work on There Will Be Blood, the soundtrack,
right?
You know, he's in a completely different field from me. He's it's an incredible place. You know, what he does is incredible, and his arrangements and his writing incredible. But I think the great thing about Radiohead is it's a place where all these things can meet, and there's no sort of like snobbery attached. Just because Johnny can write orchestral parts or can write these fantastic scores, it doesn't mean that he's, you know, somehow superior to my very basic music taste, you know.
Hey, by the way, if you guys are looking,
I like three chords.
If you guys are looking for another guitarist, I was playing Rock Band on Xbox 360, and I can really nail the guitar part. It just doesn't seem
really
that hard.
Is it good that stuff?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
I've heard it's really good.
Play the drums, play the guitar. Let's talk. I know you're just about out of time. Let's talk about your tour. You're coming to America.
Yeah,
you're coming to Los Angeles.
Of course,
we don't know the date yet.
No, but we will be there in August.
August. Okay. Good.
In a venue we've played before.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And the name of the venue
outside.
Is?
Outside. Outside. I'm not I don't know whether I'm allowed to say.
The
we
Greek?
Played there quite a lot before.
Is it the Greek? Mm-hmm.
It sounds like maybe the Greek, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Are you looking forward to being back out on the road?
Yeah, I mean, touring for us, it's kind of like, it's one of the great pleasures about doing it. And sometimes it feels like a bit of an indulgence, because sometimes you enjoy it a bit too much, you know. It's exciting. And when you get a great night, you know, your great night at the Greek or the Hollywood Bowl, and, you know, that whole exchange happens between the band and the audience, and you just go to these great places collectively. It's amazing. So, but you've got to be careful with it. You can't do too much of it. Otherwise you turn into, you know, you probably have plenty of musicians you've spoken to who spent too long on the road.
Oh yeah. Certainly.
And
it beats them up. They just feel all wrung out.
Yeah, well, it's weird because you come off the road and it's very strange. You know, you go out on the road and you feel, God, this is bizarre. And then within a week, it feels completely normal. And then you get back home and you're scratching your head at 9 o'clock in the evening. And, you know, it's all very quiet. The kids are in bed and you're going, I'm ready to rock. You know?
And it's time for sorry to interrupt. Radiohead in August, it looks like, in Southern California. We're assuming at the Greek, but we'll have more information soon. And starting Monday morning, we are going to be giving away tickets to Radiohead as part of the K-Rock World Tour. So we're very excited about that. And, Ed, we always love catching up with you and the guys in the band. So please, if you get the opportunity, stop by and see us when you're in town as well.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Cheers, Bean. Good
Thank
luck
you.
To you both.
Bye now.
I love K-Rock.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. It's K-R-O Foo on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 K-Rock. By the way, we're going to make more calls to make your dreams come foo in about 10 minutes or so here. We're calling some more K-Rock listeners to let you into the Breakfast with Foo Fighters Monday morning at the Foobador. We're not overdoing this at all, do you think,
Kevin? Yes, we're overdoing it 100%.
Why is Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters on my phone right now? What's this all about?
Hey, Taylor.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Just more shameless promotion.
This is a surprise. We didn't know you were going to call today. I love this.
Well, you know, I was up having a cup of joe.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this gig tonight. Okay. And I'm thinking, well, you know, how do we get, instead of 10 people there, 15
20
people there?
Yes.
Maybe 20.
Okay.
So, and, is this a side project that you're in?
Well, I wouldn't even call it that, really. It's a police cover band.
A police cover band.
And
you're Stuart Copeland.
Well, only every once in a while. I mean, they have a real drummer that they play with all the time. And then maybe a year ago, someone said, hey, I know these guys. They have this awesome police cover band. The guy sounds just like Sting, and the guitar player is awesome. And we know you're a police freak. You want to jam with them just for fun? I said, oh, yeah. Tell them to come over. So they came over to my house, and I have a little jam room in my house. And literally, we didn't leave the jam room for 2.5 hours. It was like all of a sudden I was transported back to 1983 or something. And I was a kid in the garage, and these guys knew every single police song perfectly.
Wow.
Like live version. Like, oh, we're doing the live version from Boston 79 or something.
Wow.
And the guy's going, yo, yo, like there's an audience there. I'm like, wow, this is weird, man.
But Taylor, what happens to their really good drummer that they normally play with when big time rock star Taylor wants to sit in? Does he just sit at home and weep?
Well, you know, they really, actually, they're like a working band. Like, they go out and play, you know, in Vegas, and they go to Mexico, and they do, like, corporate gigs. They do all these things. Like, they're really like a pro, like, you know, those kind of, like, Beatle cover bands.
So you're not kicking him out of the band. He's just for one night.
No. It's just for one night. I mean, I have a job.
Right, sure.
Yeah, you do, right. All right, I've never heard of this place in Northridge where you guys are going to be tonight. What's this Harper's Bar?
It's just called Harper's, and I don't know if it's Harper's Bar or Harper's Cantina or what it is. I'll give you the address right now for the world to, for LA to hear, anyways, and parts of Orange County, I'm sure.
Barely.
It's 19333 Business Center Drive. 19333 Business Center Drive. It's in Northridge. The phone number is 818-349-3474.
Okay.
I mean, the reason I do this is because we're getting ready to go on tour.
Right.
You know, and I've had a month and a half off, so, you know, I need to stay in shape.
You're a little bored?
You
know? Gotta
well, die. I mean, not so much just bored. I mean, my hands are full. I have a kid now, and, you know, the witching hour is about to begin any time now, so I'm just kind of waiting. But you know, I just got to get my hands together, really. I mean, it's being a drummer is kind of like being an athlete, you know, and if you're not sort of sorted out a little bit, then you get out there and you're cold and you're... feel like you're swinging 2x4s for the first week, you know?
Taylor, I'm going to tell you something I've learned on my many years of working here at K-Rock in Southern California, is that all the best rock clubs are on Business Center Drive. I mean, you can't beat that. That just says rock to me.
It's all about business, baby.
All right, the place is called Harper's. What time are you going on?
Somewhere between like 9:30 and 10 o'clock.
Okay, what's the band name so people...
Well, they're called Fallout.
Fallout, okay.
Fallout, but we usually, when I play with them, for some reason, my wife always thinks it's really stupid, but I call it The Cops.
The Cops.
The Cops, okay.
So you change.
Enough, right?
You're trying to make sure that no one can find you is what you're doing.
I don't know.
Okay. Police cover band, Taylor Hawkins playing drums.
We're going to have a lot of guest stars. I think Bono might come by.
Sure,
I think Jimmy Page might do a few songs.
Sure,
of course.
Sting might actually be in town. Oh. He loves jamming with the boys.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Of course he does.
Yeah, you know, and just all sorts of, you know, great stars.
It's craziness.
It sounds like fun. And we wrote down that information you gave us, Taylor, and Dave has it on the phones for people if they missed it and they're in the car or whatever they want to call. Hey, real quick before you go, tell me about Monday. Are you guys jazzed for the Troubadour?
Oh, yeah. dude. I mean, 7:30 in the morning. See, I'm up early anyways, so I'm like, great. Love it. I'm ready. I'll be ready to play at 7:30 or whatever time it is, you know. Everybody else will be. I'm sure there will be a lot of coffee there.
A little sleepy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Taylor, we have been doing these breakfast shows forever on K-Rock, as you know.
Right.
I mean, we've done 50 of them. But
right.
There's such a buzz on this Foo Fighters. I mean, this is one that people have been looking forward to for so long, and you've got so many rabid fans. You're going to meet Foo Fighters fans down there with tattoos of your band and pictures.
Uh-oh.
And the whole. I mean, it's going to be hardcore, dude. We're going to have a great time.
So keep security tight.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, and
do
by
that.
The way, if you want to impress Taylor, then get the cops tattoo.
There you go.
That'll
yeah,
be
that's the
good.
One.
If you want to go real deep, yeah,
that'll be unique. All right, Harper's in Northridge tonight between 9:30 and 10, and Taylor's going to be on the drums, and it's a police cover band. That sounds great, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Thanks so much for my shameless promotion.
You
man.
Bet. Thank you, Taylor. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Right on, guys.
We have more tickets for our breakfast with Foo Fighters.
But you'll have to be on the guest list. We're gonna make your dreams come true. Foo it in our way. We'll pick up the phone and call you. You better answer if you don't f*** you. We're trying to make your dreams come true.
Here's the way it works. We have asked for you hardcore Foo Fighters fans to apply online at krock.com, Kevin and Bean page. And now we're calling people and letting them into the breakfast on Monday at the Foobador. And we're giving you tickets to see the band March 6th at the Forum. Those tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10. Let's make another call real quick. Then Ralph's got the showbiz beat. And then Lena Headey from the Terminator TV series after 8.
300, too. She was in 300.
Yes, yeah. She was.
Queen Gorgo.
Yeah.
She was. Well, she was in that.
Hello, is this Leah?
Yes, it is.
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock. We're on the air. How are you?
Guys.
A lot of people ask us, what kind of song can I use for my wedding? Is there a song that you guys play use for my wedding? It's always Everlong by Foo Fighters.
And always the acoustic version.
The acoustic version. And Leah, tell us about your wedding.
Wait, a lot of people do that? I thought we were the only
one. No. Yeah. A lot of people use that song.
No, it's very popular.
Tell us about your whole wedding, though.
Our wedding was in San Juan Capistrano. Cost us almost $50,000.
And the music...
and the music, we had the whole Foo Fighters for our entire soundtrack.
So every song you played,
all Foo Fighters.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And I walked down the aisle to Foo Fighters. We walked into the reception for with the Foo Fighters.
Did you have to explain to like mother-in-law or somebody else why you were doing this and who they were and all that?
You know what? The acoustic version, everybody really liked that song.
Sure.
So they didn't ask that.
Okay.
But yeah, they asked why we weren't doing like a traditional... You know,
yeah,
we did a little bit
at the reception. Did you cut into an Angel Foo cake?
Oh, dear God,
Angel Foo cake.
I'm looking forward to this breakfast because we wanted
Angel
a long time.
Foo cake.
Can't wait till that's
is
over.
What I'm saying,
Leah. Real quick, why Foo Fighters? Why was that decision made to make that the soundtrack of your wedding?
I think, well, me and my husband both think just because they're the best rock and roll band, I think ever.
Woo!
There you go. All right, good enough. Well, listen, we're going to see you Monday morning with your husband, I hope, at the Troubadour. Foo Fighters are going to be there performing live. You're going to be asking them questions, and we're also going to give you tickets to see them at the Forum their second night, March 6th. How's all that sound?
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Congratulations.
When he asked you to be his bride, did you say, I foo?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. At the ceremony?
Hold on, Leah. We'll give you the we'll give you the instructions. Don't go away.
Do you take her to be your bride? I foo.
All right,
this needs to end right now. Lena Headey from the Terminator TV series, Andrew Siciliano next hour as well. Plus, it's Friday. That means we've got the movie beat coming up. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz. What's going on?
You know, it's the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yes. Right. I think the shorthand of that is the Terminator TV series. I think people understand what I mean.
But it's the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right. Why are you saying
that's
that?
That's fine.
Because she's Sarah Connor.
Right.
She's the one.
I'm happy for her.
Right.
She's the star.
What's your point?
Right. We know.
Just saying.
Okay.
It's not about the Terminator.
Right.
It's Sarah Connor. And her chronicles.
Why? Well,
I'm just saying.
I think
it may have been very confusing for people. I was talking about a different Terminator TV show.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles. And they were like, people don't know what that is. They said, oh, okay, so we would have slapped Terminator on the top.
All right. I've seen it. It's good.
It is good.
I can't wait.
Now I feel like a foo.
Oh, dear God. Time for the showbiz. Look at you all.
Ralph Garman?
Here's Ralph Garman.
You sleeping?
Look, I know this whole Britney thing.
Yeah.
There's more?
It's getting uglier, and we're all starting to feel sad because she's mentally ill.
So do we really need the brand new website that's just hit the internet?
What's that?
WhenIsBritneyGoingToDie.com?
Where
if you correctly predict the date and time of her death, if you're closest, you win a PlayStation 3.
Oh. Bean, is that yours? Is that
nice
yours?
Work, Bean.
Look, we all have her in the death pool in the office, but it's not the type of thing you advertise by putting on the internet. Come on.
Well, I can understand a death pool because there's other people in the mix there, but a website specifically dedicated to WhenIsBritneyGoingToDie?
Yeah.
.com?
Doesn't seem very funny.
Come on, October 14th. Come on. Want that PS3. Yeah, so you can find that on the internet if you're so inclined, but it's a little gross.
Sure.
If you ask me. Michelle Rodriguez.
Aye, aye, aye.
From Lost. Wasn't lucky enough to serve an 82-minute jail sentence like Nicole Richie or Lindsay Lohan, but she did manage to get out after serving only 17 days of her 180-day sentence. After violating her probation on DUI charges, she checked into Linwood on Christmas Eve, and TMZ.com is reporting she was let loose Wednesday night around 8 o'clock, allegedly because the jail was overcrowded, so she got a lucky break. She went right to the bar to celebrate it.
No, that's a joke, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I have no idea where she went. Speaking of Lost, one of the producers of that show is a guy named J.J. Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
I only wish he would make a movie. I wish he had a movie in the works.
It's Cloverfield. That's
what?
Yeah, that's J.J. Abrams.
How could I not know that?
You know.
I do know, and I'm looking forward to Cloverfield maybe more than any movie I've ever seen in my life. I don't want to overstate things, but I'm predicting this will be the greatest movie ever made in the history of cinema.
Well, that's not overstating anything.
I don't think so either. No. It comes out January the 18th. However, we're having a special K-Rock screening of Cloverfield Thursday, the night before it's released, so you get to see it before anybody else. If you're lucky enough to win tickets, how about callers 6 and 7 right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Callers 6 and 7. If you're lucky, caller, you will get a pair of passes to go see Cloverfield at the Grove on Thursday, January the 17th. It's going to be quite the event. It's going to be quite the movie.
Yes, it is.
I'm looking forward to it. Celebrities are breaking up left and right. John Mayer and Friday Night Lights actress Minka Kelly reportedly Splitsville.
All right, Bean.
Hottest chick on TV?
Yeah. Hottest show on TV. Wait a minute. 8 people watch.
Still great, though, Ralph. You're missing out.
That's one of those that Bean loves, Lisa loves.
I do. Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, isn't it still kind of just doing just okay?
Barely. No, it's doing way worse than just okay.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's only on because there's a writer's strike.
If it was a dog, you would so put it down.
You put it down?
You would just give it a gas right away. Take it right to the vet and say, just sleepy by time.
It's a shame, too, because it's a great dog.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good dogs out there. Don't have to play with all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Puppy Lake.
People magazine reports that the couple has called it quits, but, of course, remain close friends.
Aww, sure. That's so sweet.
Of course they do. Yeah.
That is sweet.
That is nice.
Speaking of Britney, besides when she's going to die, reportedly she is putting together another mini tour.
Oh, great.
She wants to go out on tour and, you know, perform.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
She wants to get back to her roots, man. Get out there and please the people.
Yeah.
She's thinking of touring around the world, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Then you better move up your prediction from October to May.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the London Sun tabloid is asking a bunch of celebrities what their advice is for Britney.
Oh, good.
And, apparently, Simon Cowell says she could fix all of her problems if she would just go home to her mother in Louisiana and stay there for like 6 months and just get out of the public eye. Just get back to her family, get away from the paparazzi, get away from show business, and just concentrate on nothing but getting well.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the family you want to go back to.
Exactly, that's what I was saying.
That's her problem, is she has no place to go.
Yeah.
She's surrounded by sycophants who don't really give a rat's ass about her. She's banging a paparazzo who I'm sure just wants to, you know, use her some way to advance his career. Her parents are for crap. Her sister's all screwed up. I mean, where do you go to get better if you're her?
K-Fed.
Dr. Drew's house.
Dr. Drew is exactly where she should go.
Dr. Drew has to take her in.
Or Dr. Phil, either one.
One of the doctors.
Oh, wait.
And Pamela Anderson is vehemently denying that she is, in fact, pregnant, as other people have reported about her.
Boobs.
People should get their story straight before they start saying things like that.
Yeah, I heard that on Showbiz.
No.
On
no,
radio station.
Pamela posted a one-word message to her fans when asked if she wasn't again in the family way. No, was all she wrote on her website yesterday. She already has two sons, of course, Brandon and Dylan from Tommy Lee's, her marriage with Tommy Lee. But What? Yes, Bean?
I didn't think she said no all that often. I'm a little bit surprised to hear that from her.
Oh! Oh!
No, you didn't.
And reality television is coming back in a big way thanks to the writer's strike. By the way, the Writers Guild of America,
yeah, mm-hmm.
their award show has been canceled, as you can imagine.
Wow, I guess so.
Yeah, I don't think they're pretty much in a mood to put an award show. All the award shows are taken in the pants. Regular television also suffering. But reality TV is thriving, and that is leading to some old reality shows that haven't been on for a while coming back with renewed interest from the networks. ABC is bringing back The Bachelorette this summer. After taking a 3-year break from airing that series because no one really cared for it that much. But gotta have programming.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And may need summer dollars. And the two Corys, Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, are also set to return for a second season of The Two Corys.
That was a terrible show.
Their reality show.
But at least both of them were hateable. At least they had that going on.
Yes, this was nothing likable to watch.
Right.
I'm not sure.
I have an award show question, Ralph. Of course, nobody really expected when this strike began that the Golden Globes would end up being canceled as they have been. But what about the Oscars? Mm. That has to be in people's sights right now. I mean, that's a show that is just – that's a real deal. That's a part of the fabric of America, that program.
What about the Oscars indeed?
What are we going to do for 3 hours of boredom?
Would it be nice if they tighten it up to a nice hour show and just
that would be nice.
Announce the winners? Or
I guess what I'm saying is that actors and actresses sometimes grow up from the time they're little kids imagining what it's going to be like to stand on a stage and accept an Oscar, and I wonder if some of them would be willing to cross a picket line to have the opportunity to do that.
I can't help but wonder, would the Writers Guild perhaps work out a deal with them to allow that particular ceremony to take place? Because I think even writers have the utmost respect for that particular award.
And
they
want to
win one.
Yeah. Yeah. Golden Globes, I don't think they necessarily have that much cachet with, mm-hmm. you know. But the Oscars, I think, Emmys, maybe. You know, we'll have to wait and see. We'll know in early March, I guess, is when they're going to air, right? Today's celebrity birthday is Chris Daughtry from the band Daughtry, from his album Daughtry. His new single, Daughtry, pick it up. He's 28 years old. Do you remember Big Country back in the 80s?
Sure.
No. It was a Big Country? Yeah, Big Country. The band was called Big Country. Their album called Big Country with their single Big Country. I thought that was easy. Easy for them to work out. Jared Leto.
Oh, yeah.
30 Seconds to Mars, of course. He's an actor as well. 36 years old today. Lars Ulrich from Metallica is 44. James Kotak, drummer for the Scorpions.
Yeah.
Celebrates his 45th birthday. And Phil Spector, legendary record producer and pretty handy with a firearm, if you ask me.
Legendary gunsmith.
He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
The K-Rock Showbiz Beat brought to you by Unit.
What?
What? I almost forgot. And I've done this now for 2 hours in a row, and I feel just crappy about it.
Uh-oh.
Our own assistant producer, Alex.
Yes.
Celebrates her birthday today. I didn't want to let another Showbiz Beat go by without wishing her the very best and many, many happy birthdays to come.
Happy 22nd.
Yeah, right. Okay, you can go now. Okay.
Kevin, you were saying earlier, don't worry about the writer's strike.
Yes.
We've got a tip for you tonight on the TV. Am I right about that?
Yeah, Lena Headey is in a show called Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi there. It's not tonight. It's Sunday night and then Monday night, which is going to be your regular slot. So you have two nights in a row for the premiere. Sunday night at 8, and then the regular Monday night slot will be 9 o'clock on Fox. And this show is great.
It's fabulous.
I've seen the first two episodes. You play, of course, Sarah Connor.
Indeed, I do.
And you're trying to protect your son from the Terminators.
Yes.
How did you get involved with this show?
Well, I went through the usual audition process, which is pretty hideous. And after three rounds of auditioning, I was offered the role. So I was thrilled to be in that position.
Do they check your fighting skills? They want to know you can do that? Because you like to box, right?
Yes, I do. I do. Not that I have any time anymore, but they didn't check my fighting skills.
Okay.
Now, a lot of actors are automatically nervous when somebody's trying to turn a successful movie franchise into a TV show because the track record, not so good on that, but clearly you saw something in the material that made you believe in it.
The writer, Josh Friedman, who created the Chronicles for TV, is incredibly smart and quite brilliant. So I had no hesitation. I knew that he knew what he was doing.
Now, with the writer's strike, we have to ask this every time we talk about a new TV show because how many episodes are there? It would be really difficult to start a new TV show and not have a full season.
Well, we shot We have nine to air.
Okay.
The pilot. That'll do.
All right.
Trust us.
We'll take that over nothing.
Yep.
But, it, you know, it completes an arc. Obviously, we would love to get back and do what we were intending to do, but it does stand alone.
Thomas Decker plays your son, John.
Yes.
Who you're trying to protect. And Summer Glau, is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
She's the good Terminator. She comes back from the future. She's a good Terminator.
She's the good Terminator, but man, she's got some moves.
She can kick ass, that girl.
They checked her fighting skills,
they
for
did,
sure.
Yeah. They must have, because she runs like 60 miles an hour and beats people up. And
Lena, were you familiar with the Terminator movies?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody that wasn't. You know, I just think my dedication to the movies at that time in my life was slightly lessened by the fact that I was more interested in boys.
Sure.
I was around 14.
Sure. Yeah, well, the only person that we know that is not familiar with the Terminator is our friend Bean here, who has not seen it, didn't know it. We've been spending...
Didn't know anything about it.
Off the air today. Shocking. During the songs and commercials, we're trying to say, okay, the machines take over in the future, and then they come back because they want to kill the bomb, blah, 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 blah.
And he keeps saying, does Sarah have special powers?
No, she's just human, that's all. She's just...
I understand Bean, because I'm doing the show, and sometimes I'm very confused as to where we are.
Well... It's actually good from what I've heard about it. It's you don't actually need any kind of working knowledge of the Terminator franchise. I mean, you pretty much pick up what's happening if you tune in Sunday night to see your first episode, right, Lena?
Yes. I mean, it carries the themes, the kind of, you know, universal huge themes from the franchise, but it's a whole new take, really, on relationships and the strategy. On protection.
Right. She's trying to protect her 15-year-old son so he can grow up and save the world. They're trying to kill him.
You'll love it.
It sounds like it, yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because you're a woman who has been acting for a long time, and you certainly did an awful lot back home in Britain before we even saw you in America, but is it fun? Is it exciting? Is it make you nervous when all of a sudden you get this 1-2 punch of being the queen in 300 and now having this high-profile network TV show? Does it just feel like a totally different game compared to what acting might have been like a couple of years ago?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, you know, the sort of the thing of being everywhere is great on one level and terrifying on another. But I honestly, you know, I feel like it's my job. I love doing what I do, and it's work. You know, it's like all of us. We get up at crazy hours like you guys and
right.
go to work, and you do, you know, you do your best. So I feel, you know, I have my feet firmly on the ground, so that's a cool thing.
Well, you were damn good in 300 as the queen.
Thank you very
much. And I've seen the first two episodes, the ones that are going to air Sunday and Monday night, of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and it's really good TV.
I'm excited to hear that.
Finally.
We need some good TV.
Finally, something new, something good to watch. Yay.
But they're not living in a house with Flava Flav and trying to get off drugs with Dr. Drew or anything like that.
It's not a reality show.
Oh, wow. You mean it's actual scripts and actors? You're kidding me.
It's scripted. There's actors. There's fighting. It's special effects. It's very good. Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, Sunday night at 8 on Fox, and then it's regular time slot Monday at 9 on Fox. So there's two episodes coming up Sunday and Monday night.
Great.
There you go. Lena, thank you very much for taking the time today. We appreciate
it. You guys have a good day.
Okay,
you
bye
too.
Now.
Bye.
Ever get a chance to see that band live, you have to do it. Muse, fantastic. It's
they
Kevin,
are great.
Kevin and Bean Show at 8:27.
Are we going to be making any more dreams come true on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show?
Making
some more of those phone calls?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
But first, it is Friday morning, and that means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
You mean Fooby Beat?
Yeah, yes. You certainly didn't mean to say Movie Beat, yeah. Kevin. Come on.
We mean Fooby Beat.
All right. What I'm talking about. Let's take a look at some of the movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Wow. Wow.
What?
Really?
No kidding.
January's rough.
Nothing good again?
January's rough. Just
until next weekend.
Just lay down and wait for the 18th. That's what I'm suggesting when Cloverfield hits screens. But if you have to go to the movies this weekend, maybe you could check out the new VeggieTales movie. Because, you know,
really?
kids love their veggies.
I didn't see any of the other ones. Am I going to be able to
catch
up?
No, you better catch up. You get on your Netflix and rent the rest of the Veggie Tales, Lisa, because you will be perplexed by this tale of the Veggie Tales, the pirates who don't do anything. Yes, the lovable vegetables are on the open seas.
The
using their cucumbers for all sorts of strange things.
Yeah.
Now, these are, if I am familiar with the series, and I know it's books and it's an empire out there, very popular, but the vegetables are all born again, Jesus Christ believing vegetables, right?
Veggies love them some God, that's
for
sure.
Yeah, I think it's a religious
thing.
Look,
if God came down and made me a vegetable who could walk and talk, I'd be pretty devout too. Yeah, whatever he would say, I would follow and do, because I'd be a sentient vegetable.
Yeah.
How often does that come along?
Seldom.
If you got the kids and your kids are retarded, then they will love a VeggieTales movie. Here's a little scene where the vegetable captain of the vegetable pirate ship announces that the cucumber and two of the grapes should be treated as heroes.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right, I want you to take care of this for me,
guys,
man. All right, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty. All right. Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay?
All right.
Yeah, man. Everything's going to go out smoothly, dude. Double cross. Yeah. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Which vegetable was he? I didn't get that.
That may have been a scene from Cucamonga Heat starring our own Omar Khan.
That wasn't the vegetable
that
movie?
That may not have been the clip from the Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, a VeggieTales movie.
The hero isn't the strongest or the fastest or the smartest or the best looking. The hero is the one who, no matter how hard, does what he knows is right. Monteria, I give you three heroes!
Let's hear it for the cucumber and the two grapes, shall we?
Really? It's a cucumber and two grapes?
That's what it is.
Interesting,
and I think that's a little phallic for a Christian movie.
Interesting.
When you got a big, no matter how hard they do the right thing, he's looking at a big, massive cucumber and two grapes on either side of the cucumber. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling, VeggieTales, with your perversity?
Trying to get your sex message out there.
That's right. Trying to teach five-year-olds to buy dildos. We know how you work.
We should boycott this movie.
I think so.
That's good.
Also coming out this weekend, First Sunday, speaking of God.
Oh.
Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan are bumbling criminals who come up with a crazy scheme to rob their neighborhood church. Oh, no, they didn't. Wow, does this look horrible. Here's a scene from First Sunday where Ice Cube and Tracy Morgan are visiting a massage parlor. Please enjoy.
Our Swedish massages start at $49.50.
We need to talk to Mordecai. We're trying to get a loan here.
So, what sort of massage will it be?
Didn't you hear me?
I just don't want to know your name. I want you to whisper it in my ear.
Mordecai.
Oh, no! He got a massage from Mordecai!
See? That's who it was.
I love the blackness of it.
And when a black guy gets touched by another black guy in a massage, they sure get upset. Oh, those blacks. But at least you have the slam against the Asians with that girl talking like she's from a 1940s World War II movie.
Right.
What sort of massage you want? I give you good sweetest massage. Love you long time.
I've never known such blackness.
I'm not the person to do it, but doesn't somebody need to tell Ice Cube that he can't talk like that, like a gangster anymore when he's doing this movie?
Yeah.
Right. Really.
He lost that right when he made Are We There Yet, or whatever freaking movie that was. So that's your First Sunday. Then we get In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale.
This looks awesome.
Dungeon Siege, for those of you who don't know, is a very popular video game. It's a strategy game that takes place, it's first person, you control the player, and takes place in medieval times. And this film is based on that very popular video game. Jason Statham stars as the hero in the film. And if you want a video game hero, who better than kick-ass Jason Statham? Who, I don't know, he may be a little anachronistic, I think.
You think?
Maybe out of time to play a medieval warrior because he just screams, you know, West End of London, just modern day. He doesn't really pull off that sort of, you know, ancient times thing. But he sure kicks some ass. Here's Jason in the film, trapped by evil in the forest.
Yeah, that's right, Jet Li. I've got a sword.
No.
I've got an Asian girl in my trunk. I'm going to put my chin out.
Not
get
your
the dragon.
Oddly Australian impression of J.C. Statham. Oh, Jason Statham, we like the real one.
It's part of the plan, farmer.
Let us down.
When I'm ready. Get out of our forest. You have no business here.
You hate your weapons and your killing.
Passing through, that's all.
Then pass through. And never come back.
Maybe they should spend less time talking in this movie and
more time fighting.
Yeah. amazing cast, believe it or not, in this film. For a film based on a video game, they really pulled out the star power. Jason Statham, John Rhys-Davies is in it, who you know from the Indiana Jones movies, plays Salah, his buddy.
Right.
Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Lily Sobieski. Burt Reynolds as the king, and Claire Forlani also in this movie.
Wow.
Dude, wow.
Interesting.
So, yeah, a pretty eclectic mix of actors there for In the Name of the King. And lastly, if you're going to pick one movie this weekend to go see, this is the one I'd pick. You've got Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman together on the screen. That's all you need to tell me. I don't even care what it's about. But they play two terminally ill friends who decide to go on the road trip of their lives. Literally, this is how they're going to spend their last days, by fulfilling a wish list of things they want to do before they die.
This looks bad.
How does it look bad?
Well, oh, man.
It's going to be very sentimental.
This looks stupid.
It's Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I love both.
Two of the greatest actors working in film today. You got Rob Reiner directing.
Looks awful.
How can you say it looks awful? Because they're older. Because they're older
no,
now.
No, I like
you
them both.
Don't like old.
I'll see anything Morgan
you
Freeman's in.
You don't like
That's
old.
Not the case. It just
you
looks horrible.
You want them just to die and
bucket
not fulfill
list.
Their list.
Doesn't it look like it's just a little too, like, precious, like, on the nose? This is a bucket list. This is what you want to do before you kick the bucket.
Well, they're going to die. They're faced with their own mortality. They want to do, they want to accomplish things they never got a chance to do before they die. It's a buddy film about two older guys who are going to die.
Are they going to learn an important lesson that they need to put the important things first?
They're going to have fun.
Is one of them going to make up with his daughter we hasn't talked to in years?
My bucket list is to kill you people in this room. Before I die, I'd like to take you all out.
I'd like to throw up.
Rob
Kevin
Reiner,
would really,
Jack Nicholson,
really be
Morgan
upset
Freeman.
If they started playing the Wii, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, I like both of those actors. I'll see anything they're in except for this one looks bad.
Here's a scene from the bucket list where Morgan Freeman is telling his daughter that he's leaving the hospital with Jack Nicholson to follow their dreams before they die.
Edwin and I are going away.
I don't understand how you can just give up like this. Why don't you tell our children that? See what they say when they find out you've given up on them.
Given up on them? I've got 45 years greased up under the hood of a car so that they didn't want for anything. And they didn't. I think I've earned some time for myself.
You're a fool who thinks he's figured out a way how not to have cancer.
Wow, what a buzzkill that kid is.
Angry mom.
Yeah, see? That's his wife, rather. I meant to say... He has a scene with his daughter, but this scene we played, I'm sorry, it was him talking to his wife, telling her that he's going to go off on this road trip with his buddy because he's got only so much time left and he wants to do what he wants to do.
And he doesn't want to
and
spend
she
it
wants
with her.
She wants him to stay in bed, dying, so the kids can hang around and say their goodbyes. He's
I
like,
know, but
I don't think he's trying to get away
from the kids. Like,
he's not trying to get away
from I'm not doing it around you.
He's not trying to get away from the kids, he's trying to get away from her.
Well, he says, I don't want any more treatment.
Right.
He says, forget it. You know,
oh, I see. So that's why she says
I've acquiesced to this, and this is just the way it's going to be. I'm going to go out on my terms instead of staying here in this hospital bed and letting them keep pumping chemicals into me and just fading away. I'm going to go out with a bang. And she thinks he's giving up because he has pretty much succumbed to the fact that he's going to have cancer, and that's just the way it is.
They learn an important lesson.
Yeah. That you're an a-hole. That's what they learn at the end. They go, wow, Kevin's a bit of an asshole, isn't he? He sure is.
I'm sorry, can I hear Morgan Freeman again?
He sure is.
Little final scene of the film.
That's spot on.
Roll credits.
Kevin should pull his ass out of his head, or vice versa, depending on how much he's had to drink. That's my pick for the week. I don't care what anybody says. Nothing wrong with a little sentimentality.
Ooh.
As long as Jack Nicholson's the one dishing it out. Bucket list is in theaters everywhere. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
First, though, between now and Monday, a couple of football games we need to talk about with our friend Andrew Siciliano. He, of course, with the Red Zone on DirecTV. Andrew, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Good morning, everyone.
We were checking on your predictions last time, and you were three out of four.
Really?
Yeah.
Too bad I didn't actually put money on that.
Not bad.
Could make a couple bucks. Didn't you go to Vegas that weekend or something, Andrew?
No. We don't do that.
No, but you were saying last time we were talking to you that you were going to spend the weekend in Vegas.
Not yes, I actually went for Saturday evening. Saturday
you did? Okay. Only. All right.
What do you think went wrong with your prediction of – which one did he miss? He missed Tampa Bay, New York, right?
Yeah.
Garcia couldn't throw the ball downfield.
Well, yeah, Garcia looked like crap, didn't he?
See, we could do the old compulsive gambler thing, which is it's never
my fault. It's always the team's fault.
Well, in this case, you're right. I mean, they started calling plays that they didn't play do all season. You're right. They did not go downfield at all against a questionable Giants secondary.
You know what? I don't want to be negative, Rev. How about this? I'll be positive. How about Eli Manning being nothing but a leader in that game and making every single throw, checking off, and
he did show up,
and looking like Peyton and leading his team to a victory? How about that?
It is weird how some players can just fall apart and others can just be almost perfect under that kind of pressure.
How will Eli stand up under that pressure against Dallas, however?
I think he can win.
Really?
Absolutely.
Two games in a row like that from Eli Manning? When have you ever seen that?
This team is 8-1 on the road this year. This team has once. Now, granted, that one loss was in Dallas.
Right.
All right. But they are 8-1 on the road this year. They can do this. The key to this game is T.O. We know he's going to play, right?
Right.
The question is, how well is he going to play? If he's not getting downfield, if they could beat him up at the line, if they could totally change the way that Romo has to go through his options, I think they could legitimately win this game. They can get after Tony Romo. They're going to chase his behind. The question is, how well does he play? I mean, I know this sounds absurd. I'd almost say there's more pressure on Tony Romo than there is on Eli Manning. Eli won his game. No one expects them to win this. They're on the road. Dallas is at home. The number one seed of the NFC has never lost this game. Ever.
Okay.
17-0 since they went to this format. The pressure's on Romo, not on Eli.
Okay.
But Andrew, Romo is staying focused. He's checking out a lot of film down there in Mexico with Jessica Simpson and her family. So he's staying sharp.
Guys, can we cut the crap? The issue isn't that he went to Cabo with Jessica Simpson. The issue is that he went to Cabo with her dad.
Yeah, yeah. That is ugly.
If I'm going to know the chick a couple of weeks, I might go to Cabo with her, but I'm not taking her dad.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Certainly not.
That creepy dad.
All right, are you picking New York then in that game?
I am going to pick New York to cover the 8. How about that?
Cover the spread. Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay.
No, I think the Cowboys win the game. They're at home. But the Giants are going to make it very interesting.
All right.
And no one has mentioned the fact that OCU Manure is dating Salita Ebanks either on the Giants side, because that could be a distraction.
Mm. That's true.
So that game's Sunday at 1:30. Okay, there are three.
Excuse me, real quick on that game before we can move on. T.O. has the high ankle sprain, but apparently he has practiced this week, right?
Yes, he has practiced. He practiced yesterday for the first time, so he'll be okay.
Okay.
All right, we have three other games. Seattle at Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, I think, is the sentimental favorite for a lot of people just because of Brett Favre. They'd like to see Brett Favre win it all because he's a great quarterback. He deserves it.
I think I've said on the show before that the only guy that could win a playoff game on the road at Lambeau is Knaut and Leavenworth. All right, so Michael Vick's not going to be there.
Right.
Matt Hasselbeck, I think, is going to play a good game. I think the Seahawks also keep this one close. The thing here is that Seattle has all the playoff experience. They go almost every year. They went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Other than Brett Favre on this team, nobody has playoff experience. They're 13-3. They're coming off a week off. They're at home, and you think they win, and they do win. But Seattle is going to make this interesting. I really like all the road teams to keep it close. And if you're bored this morning, the Packers need people to shovel snow for $8 an hour.
Now, are you picking Green Bay or are you picking Seattle?
I'm picking Green Bay.
Green Bay, okay.
I want to also add, by the way, just on this, because a lot of people who aren't Seahawks fans may not know this, but Matt Hasselbeck was Brett Favre's backup for 3 years in Green Bay playing for the Packers. Mike Holmgren obviously used to be the coach of the Packers. So these are guys, you know, these are key guys who are certainly familiar with Lambeau Field and what it's like to play there. That has got to give them a little edge versus some other teams that may be coming in as the road team.
And they have the experience. And Ralph, you remember 03, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get we want the ball and we're going to score.
That's
right. So they've been there before. They have almost beaten them before. And that was a far more experienced Packer team that they beat. This Packer team is Ryan Grant at tailback, has a bunch of kids other than Donald Driver at wide receiver. It's all on Brett Favre. Look, they're a machine at home. They're not going to lose this game. And if they do win and Seattle is out, it could be the end for Mike Holmgren. I think he's fed up. I think he might just quit.
All right, so that's the first game on Saturday, 1:30 on Fox. Now you got Jacksonville at New England. That's the second game on Saturday.
No way in hell Jacksonville wins the game.
Let me write that down. No way in hell.
We're going to enjoy pulling that tape out next week.
They keep it close.
Oh, that's what you say about every game.
No,
I could pick them if I did that. Both teams are going to play great, bud.
I like all the dogs here.
I think the Jags will keep it close, too. I agree.
It's 11.5. Look, New England is 11.5 better than Jacksonville. Jacksonville won last week, and if you look at the numbers, they lost everywhere.
Okay.
David Garrard was 9-21. He had 2 picks. He had a rating of 44. They hardly moved the football. They did nothing in the second half, but at the end they made a play and they won the game. They were the better team, barely.
I would also like to point out, and I think this is a prediction you guys will all agree with, that New England wins the game, and Coach Belichick is still very dissatisfied and unhappy at the press conference afterwards.
He'll be angry. He actually will have a rifle, and he'll start shooting bunnies on the field.
Now, San Diego at Indianapolis is the only other game.
You know, Indy beat them there 2 years ago. I'm sorry, San Diego beat them there 2 years ago to knock that 13-0 off, and they beat them earlier this year, but there's no way they win this game.
I think Indy beats them handily this weekend.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, you know, they didn't run the ball last week. Chargers couldn't run the ball. Chargers cannot win this game. The only hope they have is that Marvin Harrison doesn't play, because we thought he was going to play 2 weeks ago. He just got out there and said, no, I can't go. Or if he does play, he's rusty. All those guys are rusty. It's a rust issue only. That's the only way San Diego wins the game. Look, San Diego is jumping up and down this week. Yay, we won a game. They had a bye last year. Yeah. So all they've done now is get back to the point they were last year when they died.
Yeah, well.
So all four teams that had the bye last week and all four of the favorites are your picks. There's no upsets.
Okay, I know that sounds cheap, right?
Well, you could be right.
I could do that. So you say if it's cheap.
But I think all the dogs cover. How about that?
Okay.
That's good.
Well, I understand that. By the way, I have to ask you this, Andrew, because I asked you last Friday how you were going to spend your first Sunday being red zone free when you're so used to watching eight games at a time. Were you just freaked out all weekend long?
If you had to pick a favorite terminal at Vegas at McCarran International Airport, would it be Terminal C? Because that's where I spent the majority of my Sunday delayed.
Oh, good times.
Oh, dude.
I watched the Titans and the Chargers in that awful little Mexican joint next to the Starbucks and the Burger King.
And it doesn't come in clearly. It's got a lot of snow on the TV.
No, actually, when the giant Buccaneer game ended, you go to the bar and say, hey, can you switch to CBS because the other game is going on? And the guy said, no, you have the manager to do that. So we'll get the manager, please. Manager's not here. Well, please call the manager. No, you watch this. Speaking for everyone in this bar, we would like CBS.
Nope, can't be done. The technology does not exist.
That's really funny that they treated you that way. That's the best.
I'm not like anyone knows me from
Didn't you pull out the don't you know who I am card, Andrew?
Yeah, I got another burrito.
All right. Well, listen, Andrew, it's going to be a great weekend of football. I'm so excited about all these games, and I'm looking forward. I think so, too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to you next Friday, and I hope that you're wrong on at least one of those, but we'll talk to you next week, dude.
Oh,
Seattle. Yeah, of course.
BS.
Sorry, guys.
Go Pack.
Green Bay.
Go Pack.
Thank you, Andrew.
You got it.
Bye. We'll be having Breakfast with Foo Fighters Monday at this time.
Thanks. Or are they the Foo Fighters?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't work.
They are Foo Fighters. Foo Fighters. That's actually the name.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph, one of your big screen idols from recent movies, Justin Bartha, in the next room. He, of course, in the National Treasure Book of Secrets movie.
You silver-tongued devil.
Yes.
Yes.
I know you're a big fan of his and a big fan of that movie series, so he's coming next.
I love both of those films, and he is great and very funny in both of them, so I'm looking forward to meeting him.
He's coming up. Plus, we're going to make another call or two to invite people to our breakfast on Monday.
You're going to make their dreams come foo?
That's what I hear.
Oh, it's very exciting.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Fox Network continues to thumb its nose at us regarding the Super Bowl. First, they tell us they're going to have Ryan Seacrest hosting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The pre and halftime shows.
He's a homo.
Now they tell us that Paula Abdul will be there performing. Oh.
Talking, performing?
No, singing, performing. Singing and dancing.
You're talking about a rerun of Super Bowl 90, right? That's what you're talking about here?
No. This is, she will be performing her first single from her upcoming CD, and...
It's going to be a new song no one's heard yet?
Yeah, apparently she recorded it with Randy Jackson. He was the producer on it. So he'll be there as well. So you got Randy Jackson, Paul Abdul, and Ryan Seacrest. Do you really need more promotion for American Idol, Fox?
No.
Is it not number one enough for you? Leave the effing Super Bowl alone.
Yeah, they're turning the Super Bowl into a promo. Basically.
Because there's not enough promos already on everything that Fox airs telling us that American Idol's coming back on in January.
And especially with the writer's strike now, it really has no competition.
No, it will get 100 share, okay? Every television set in America will be tuned to it, Fox. Let it go. It's enough.
Leave the Super Bowl
alone. Leave the Super Bowl alone. It's bad enough. It's in Arizona, for Christ's sake. Now we got to put
up with
this.
I remember when you first broke the news about Ryan Seacrest being involved in some sort of a pansy red carpet event that day or something like that. You said you had a plan that you were going to wait till the new year to unveil on how we can derail that or stop that or write a strongly worded letter or seriously protest. Mm-hmm. It's starting to get time. We're really going to have to address that and figure out what can be done.
We're going to have to release the Hounds of Hell?
I think so. I mean, the Super Bowl is what? 3 weeks away? Four weeks away?
Second.
February 2nd.
Yeah. Or 3rd, I can't remember.
So, yeah, might be time.
Okay.
You still have that plan?
I do.
All right.
I probably shouldn't disclose it all here.
No.
But I can tell you this much. It involves a beanie and Nair. That's all you need to know.
A beanie and Nair. Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
No way Seacrest will go on television bald. No way he has the balls to do that. He does not have the guts.
Speaking of football, Jessica Simpson is crazy in love with her boyfriend, Dallas Cowboy quarterback Tony Homo.
He's a homo.
You said homo.
He gave her Tromo, 12 of his practice jerseys, and she says she likes to sleep in them. Here's the thing. They were all 12 practice jerseys that were actually used in practice.
Ooh.
She says, according to Star Magazine, she loves his smell, so she doesn't wash them when she wears them to bed.
Yikes.
Come on.
Is that a girl thing, Lisa?
You might like the way a guy smells, but you're not going to bed in dirty clothes.
After a practice for 4 hours
gross.
In the sun.
May as well not even shower.
That's bullshit.
Ugh. She's icky.
Those two couldn't be more disgusting if they tried. Oh, wait a minute. Here's something that's more disgusting. Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are coming back to do another season of The Two Corys.
Oh,
yes.
I don't even know if the end of the writer's strike would help us with this one. But A&E Network says that they have ordered 10 additional episodes of a second season of the show, which is a surprise considering the two of them weren't talking at the end of the first season. So I have no idea how they planned to pull this off. But maybe someone can watch and let me know how that all turns out.
Money talks, man.
I can't.
That was a weird show. Corey Feldman has a band. Some kind of Christian band, and his wife, and Corey Haim was
Christian
living with
him. He's a Christian now?
I think.
Really?
And he talks about himself like it's the second coming of Jesus, his music, on stage. Corey Haim's just a loser. They got in a giant fight. He was fighting with his wife. They kicked him out of the house. It was just, there's no one likable on that show.
No redeeming factor whatsoever.
Not one person.
Pamela Anderson has denied rumors that she is pregnant. It was all over the internet yesterday that she and her husband, Rick Solomon, were expecting a baby and that they were still getting a divorce anyway. And he said she's acting crazy because she's hormonal because of the pregnancy. However, Pamela has posted a response on her website saying, in one word, no, when asked if she was pregnant. So apparently that's not the case. And Tyra Banks says she's the loneliest woman in show business.
Yes. Good.
She talked to Essence Magazine and said while she feels fulfilled while she's at work on her daytime talk show, when she comes home, she comes home to nothing and feels so empty at the end of the day.
Hasn't she brought that on herself by being the type of person that nobody wants to hang out with?
Yes.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Apparently there's a huge cavern inside her that needs to be filled. She feels so empty. It's a giant hole.
Is that right?
There's a gaping chasm.
Mm-hmm.
That she needs to fill in order to feel complete, that no one can fill.
Wow.
Because it's like
sad.
Throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Oh. So many women think that you pee and have a baby from the same
hole.
So many people think you...
That's
no. So many people think that.
Okay.
They really do.
All right.
I wonder why she can't get a date.
Wow.
We'll have to ask Justin if this is true or not, but I heard a rumor that National Treasure 3 will be Treasure of the Lost Vulva. And they actually go spelunking in Tyra Banks.
Never find
it's
it,
just
I hope.
A vagina.
Vagina, vagina, vagina.
I believe there's some gold inside here.
That's what Nick Cage says in the trailer.
More of a vulva protector.
Isn't that insane?
Today's celebrity
not crazy?
Oh, shut up. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. He's 36 years old today. Lars Ulrich from Metallica is 44. And Phil Spector, record producer, crack shot. He is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ran out of energy there at the end.
That song doesn't much end. It's just sort of faint.
Just evaporates. It's the Kevin Beach Show at K-Rock 106.7 KRQ for a Friday morning. National Treasure, Book of Secrets, has been the number one film in America for 3 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. And unless we all develop a sudden interest in the Veggie Tales, it looks like it's going to be number one at the box office again this weekend. From the film, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Justin Bartha.
Yeah! Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Justin, of course, the reason the film has grossed $170 million.
It is all about Riley Poole.
It is all about
pool.
Oh, you're laughing already. Look at that. I didn't even say anything funny.
That's how funny he is.
For folks who haven't seen the movie, though, or for folks who have seen the movie, I guess they should say you're Nicolas Cage's character's sidekick, basically.
I like to say partner.
Partner.
I'm sure you do.
Sure. That sounds a little gay, though.
Second in command.
Right, but sidekick, really.
Sidekick, yeah. Okay.
Riley's
okay.
My electronics expert.
Oh.
He broke me into the Buckingham Palace.
Justin, you do an impression of him, too, don't you?
Well, Nick Cage? Impression's about as bad as yours.
Well, let's hear it. Let's do it.
But it is a lot of fun to do.
What were you saying before?
You're like, there's gold in Tyra Banks' vagina. But you don't just scream one. In Tyra Banks' vagina. It's terrible.
Does he have a sense of humor about that?
He has an amazing sense of humor. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever met. He really is so funny.
Is he just sort of nutty, too? I get the sense that Nicolas Cage is one of those guys who is, in a good way, just quirky as hell.
Yeah, he's pretty quirky, but a lot of it has to do with his sense of humor. It's not like, it doesn't come from a strange place. He's just a really funny guy.
Because you always hear the stories about what a dedicated actor he is in the film. I think it was Vampire's Kiss, perhaps, where he had to eat a live cockroach
or something.
You hear all these stories about how he goes to the nth degree when he immerses himself in a role. He just goes nuts.
Right. Yeah.
And in his real life, too. I mean, look, a lot of us are Elvis fans. Very few of us take the time to marry Elvis's daughter. I mean, just because we like his... You know what I mean? And that's really commitment.
I know.
That's crazy is what that is.
Justin,
yes.
The National Treasure movies, for those of us who haven't seen them, and I know there are increasingly fewer and fewer of us in America who have yet to see them, the plot sounds like it would be impossible to pull off in any kind of a believable manner.
That's true, and I don't think we really do that. But that's not the point of the movie. The point of the movie is to have fun. So, I mean, the plot, we try to keep it – we try to keep some kind of through line in the film. But, you know, in the end, I don't think anyone really cares if there's big plot holes in these films. They just care, you know, to be entertained.
I think it's remarkably sort of coherent when you watch it. If you try to explain it to someone, it sounds insane.
It sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. But when you're watching the film, it's very sort of – it progresses from point to point to point. It's like a giant – literally a treasure hunt. You know, they're going from clue to clue to clue, and it's pretty easy to follow along with. It's sort of a modern-day Raiders of the Lost Ark, I guess.
You know, we try to keep all the secrets based somewhat in reality and, you know, try
like
to have
fun. Like
the
book of secrets, like that one. That's
reality.
That's
not reality.
Not reality.
Not really.
So there's not
that's
a book
probably the only. You picked the only
is
one
it,
that
or
I think.
Is it?
Exactly.
Or is it?
How do we know?
Exactly. Only the presidents get to read it. We wouldn't know.
And Tyra Banks. That was even close to Nick Cage.
She's chapter 14.
We should go on tour, like the two worst impressionists in the world. Going on tour, there'll be like three drunk dudes in a bar listening to us. That's a genius Bob Dylan impression.
This is Justin's character. I have a clip from the movie. This is your character and talking about the book that you wrote and the details about the Book of Secrets.
Chapter 13, The President's Secret Book. It happens to be a collection of documents for presidents, by presidents, and for presidents' eyes only. And I'm not just talking about JFK here, guys. The 18 and a half missing minutes of the Watergate tapes. And the coup de grace. Area 51.
Oh, come on, Riley. It's an urban legend.
Is it Abigail? Yes. Is it? Is it?
Is it?
That's the question.
I love a film clip on radio.
That's a great delivery of Is It, by the way.
Theater of the mind.
Thank you so much. I'm a lot better looking on radio.
Now, this book of secrets that the presidents have seen and that kind of stuff, that's where the details are that he needs to find. I haven't seen this one either. I saw the first one. I haven't seen this one yet.
The book of secrets, what happens is Nick Cage's character, his ancestor is accused of being involved with the Lincoln assassination.
That part to me sounds so patently absurd.
Really? I think it's so cool. I think that is so interesting. I mean, if you're going to go all the way with an action adventure, you might as well go all the way. And we had to top the first one in some way with taking the Declaration of Independence. And I thought, like, that, I heard that, and I was like, that is ridiculous and so much fun. I mean, it's really cool.
But the cool part of these movies is there is some sort of historical background and basis for a lot of the stuff.
Almost everything is based.
And there was a conspiracy of people who got together to aid into the Lincoln assassination. It wasn't just the one guy, Booth. He was surrounded by a group of people who were on the side of the Confederates. So it has, you know, some basis in it.
And there are missing pages from the Booth diary. I mean, that's true. And so we're, you know, the whole plot is kind of based on that. And if you find one of these pages, it might, you know,
might explain things.
It might explain things and help.
Do you have some
Nick's
kind of
clear his name?
Do you have some kind of stuffy historian standing by that could
constantly
direct
just
you the
right
way?
Over your shoulder? He's usually just eating craft service and staring at Nick.
Sure. Now, at least admit, Justin, that you're shocked to see $170 million domestic box office already for this movie, because that's, I mean, there are very few movies anymore that make that kind of money.
Right, and it's true. I mean, especially because we're at over 175.
Sorry, but who's counting? There.
Who's no, counting? But who's counting besides
we
me?
We undershot it.
You know, it's something for everyone, and it's a family film, but that everyone can enjoy. And I think people really seem to enjoy the first movie a lot. I mean,
Had to be a surprise. The success,
yeah,
of the
that
first
was
one,
a big
I guess,
surprise.
Right?
I mean, especially people didn't come up to me and say that, oh, I like the movie. Like they said, oh, this is my favorite movie. This is my kid's favorite movie, and it became one of those indelible films that kind of kids are going to grow up with and really get them interested in history and movies and adventure.
This might just be anecdotal. This may not be supported by facts, but I believe that National Treasure is airing on cable somewhere on my television system 24 hours of every day.
I think
so,
yes.
It seems like that movie is never off the screen.
And we're working on a chip that will be able to run in your mind constantly,
good.
Yes.
Now, $175 million means you've already been contacted about Book of Secrets 3 or National Treasure 3.
You know, there was talk of it because after we saw the movie, we thought it was good. And we're like, okay, but nothing's in stone yet. I mean, nothing, you know, no. Well, I don't think anyone's really been contacted yet.
It seemed to me to be sort of built into the film, though, because Bruce Greenwood is a new character. He plays the president. Mm-hmm. That Nicolas Cage has to kidnap.
That he gets kidnapped.
You have a very high class Nicolas Cage.
Well, it's almost
impression.
Like Thurston Howell.
Well, he's going for a treasure.
If you don't look at me doing it, it sounds better.
But he is Nicolas Cage dressed up in a tuxedo.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, at an event.
Bruce Greenwood's character says to him, while you're looking at the Books of Secret, take a look at this page for me, will you, and tell me what you think about it. And they never really address what it is, but at the end of the film, I'm not giving anything away, but the president talks to Ben Gates and says, so what'd you think of that thing? Maybe something we can do with that? He's like, I think I can help you there.
Wait, was that Bruce Greenwood or Nicolas Cage?
Yes.
All of your impressions sound the same.
All of the above.
So it seems like they're building towards 3, even though maybe Riley Poole isn't in it because they haven't contacted Justin.
Yeah,
everyone else has been contacted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. I'm going to go cry in the corner.
Well, I think our advice, Justin, I think you'll back us up on this, is maybe not the Ice Cube movie this weekend. Maybe you stay away from the Veggie Tales. Perhaps it looks like National Treasure Book of Secrets is where you want to go if you're heading out to the theater this weekend.
I mean, if I were going to a movie,
say it
as Nick Cage.
Say it as Nick Cage, please. Say it as Nick Cage.
That's Jimmy Stewart.
No, that's what he does.
Larry Flint.
Who is it? Larry Flint? Is
that what you said? Just breathing and guttural sounds.
I would go see National Treasure if I was
going to
roll into a theater in my wheelchair.
That's Larry Flint.
Oh, right. Man.
It's Jimmy Stewart you're doing.
Yeah. No, Jimmy Stewart's... We're God.
Merry Christmas, y'all. Jamie's alone.
He does
Mary,
have a Jimmy Stewart quality.
Let's go see National Treasure.
That was good.
Justin, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me,
guys. It's a problem, Ralph. What are you upset about?
I want to apologize to the listeners, and it's not my fault, but I've been getting a lot of questioning emails all day and angry emails. And I usually just dismiss them or write back in kind. I give them angry, bitter, curse-filled responses.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I have to apologize to a lot of people. But I do a segment at the end of each of the Showbiz Beats where I talk about the celebrity birthdays.
Right.
And it is the job of our producer, Lightning,
yes,
to give me that list every morning.
Okay.
And one of the things you don't know about the Kevin and Bean Show is that Lightning is a retard. So all morning long, I've been saying Phil Spector's birthday is being celebrated today. Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Jared Leto from 30 Seconds to Mars. Chris Daughtry from Daughtry. And I'm getting
it's
angry
amazing that
people
get so wrapped up in who you name and who you don't name each day.
It is
too,
one of the most popular parts of the segment, which I can't really understand. But people are saying, that's insane because I thought I shared a birthday with Jared Leto and my birthday's not today, blah, blah, blah. So all day long I've been saying this list, and I look at it, and I realize Lightning has given me the birthday list. Happy birthday for Wednesday, December the 26th, 2007.
Yeah!
What? Those are the birthdays I've been reading all morning long.
How do you get Wednesday the 27th of December?
But what? I just hit print without reading it. But you've been reading that for three...
How did it even come up under your screen?
3 hours, you haven't looked at the heading of that page that's in your hand right now.
Neither do you.
You shouldn't have to.
Your job is to hand me the list of birthdays for the day. That's what you do in the morning before I go into the showbiz beat. So you handed me the list for December the 26th, not January the 10th or January the 9th or January the 12th. December the 26th from last
that
year.
That stuff gets filtered into an archive folder. I bring it up. I hit print, and I throw it on your desk, and this happened to be one morning.
Well, that's a bad system.
Yeah.
He should be able to take that piece of paper and just mention the birthdays. He doesn't need to do background checks on your paper.
He shouldn't have to. He shouldn't need a second source. Like, you should be giving him accurate information.
Before. It hasn't happened before.
Okay.
Why did it happen today? That I have December the 26th?
I don't know. I don't,
you just
put out
any random thing that comes out of your a-hole.
I do. You're a retard.
Yeah, well, there's that. It's funny, though.
All right, we need to make some phone calls.
It's not funny. It's frustrating.
You are not a winner.
It's funny to Lightning because he doesn't look bad. You do.
Tom Dumont, by the way, celebrates his birthday today.
All right.
That's a birthday we wanted to
celebrate. Guys, let's make somebody's dreams come foo, shall we?
Oh, dear God.
Make mine and kill Lightning.
Can we at least hit the button? Can we at least hear some of the song while we're dialing?
We're trying to make your dreams come foo.
Thank you very much.
Throwing it our way.
All right, we got a guy who ditched his sister's wedding for a Foo Fighter show.
Oh, no.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
His sister's wedding?
Yeah, and apparently,
yes.
Apparently he was supposed to... Hello, is this Jude?
No way.
Hey, Jude.
That's what he said.
The Foo Fighter breakfast that I was telling you about.
Jude Ted Mori?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happening?
All right, why don't you talk to us instead of whoever that is?
I'm sorry.
Kevin and Bean, we're calling from K-Rock. Yeah, we're the Foo Fighters, guys. You sent us in a note telling us what a big fan you are and that you wanted to come to our breakfast on Monday, right?
Yeah.
And you're in.
You're in. You win.
Nice.
Yes. So you ditched your sister's wedding before the speech you were supposed to make to go to a Foo Fighter show?
Yeah. You would miss your sister's wedding, right?
Yes.
I wouldn't.
I ditched that on Psycho Mike's to go see Nine Inch Nails.
That's Psycho Mike. Would you do it to a member of your family?
Yeah. Yes.
So, Jude have a lot to talk about at the breakfast. You're a bunch of
a-holes. So, Jude, you're at the wedding, and you're keeping an eye on the watch, and it gets to be time for the show, and you just stand up and say, well, I got to go to the bathroom, and then you walk out and never come back.
Well, the thing was, is her husband-to-be is also a Foo Fighters fan, so he was kind of backing me up a little bit.
Right.
Okay.
So,
And that's how come you didn't talk to your sister for a year after that?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Yeah.
A year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You better bring her to the breakfast.
Yeah, he's not going to.
She eventually forgave you, and now you guys are cool. But you just had – you explained to her your explanation for why you ditched the second half of her wedding reception was, hey, it's the Foo Fighters.
Right.
You need anything else?
She didn't really see eye to eye with me
She's wrong then, and you're right.
Well, brides get so wrapped up in themselves as if it's their special day just because they're getting married.
And they want their family around them.
I felt like I was being cheated out.
You were?
Yeah, you were being cheated.
It was inconsiderate of her to schedule a wedding on the same day as a Foo Fighters concert. That's the way I look at it.
Thank you.
So we're going to give you tickets to the breakfast, and we're going to give you tickets to the forum March 6th.
No way.
Yes.
Nice. You guys rock.
Nice.
All right, hold on. We'll give you the details. He said, hey, Lisa May. All right, let's dial this one. Let's do one more.
Wow. All right, one more.
Freaking Santa Claus, aren't you?
This is, Monday's the day. We're going to be at the Foobador, of course, doing breakfast with Foo Fighters starting about 8 o'clock. And, you can listen to it on K-Rock, and we are streaming it through krock.com. But we want to make sure we get lots of Foo Fighters hardcore fans in the crowd to ask the questions, because that's how we roll.
You know what boulevard the Foobador's on?
Hello?
What,
Ralph? Santa Monica!
Andrew, good morning.
Morning.
Andrew Bowie?
Yeah.
Andrew Fooey?
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good. We got your application.
Sweet.
Did he apply for something?
He did for the breakfast.
You got a job.
I heart Dave Grohl with all my heartstrings and write mad poetry about him.
Really?
Yes.
If I were emo, I would totally cry about him every day. And then you get down to the end, and you actually wrote a haiku for Dave Grohl.
A haiku?
A haifu. Yes. Do you remember the haifu?
Yeah, I believe so. All right. Is it my love, Mr. Grohl? If I are gay and I'm not, you'd make my pants swole.
That's it.
There you go.
If I were gay and I'm not, you'd make my pants swole.
That's beautiful.
A haiku. Now, if you come to the breakfast, we're going to make you do that haiku for Dave.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And Andrew did sign his application, as Kevin calls it, Forever Yours.
Ah,
so
see what he's
done. We want you there on Monday morning for the live show, and we'll also give you tickets for their night at the Forum on March the 6th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
You're welcome. We'll see you on Monday, okay?
All right, thank you.
Hold on. We'll give you all the details. It's time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do? What it do, nephew?
That's right. Toll free 1-800-520-1067 is the number. I'm sorry, Psycho Mike. What's the name of this feature today?
What it foo, nephew?
That's right. And here's what you get. It's a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, where right now, for the price of a single day, you get 2008 for free. Got some good calls we got to squeeze in here.
All right. Let's begin with Ree in Long Beach. Rhea?
Yeah, Ree.
Okay.
Ree. All right. Good morning. What it do?
So I was watching the news, and I heard about this guy in Poland who went to a brothel and found out that his wife has been working there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that a true story? Because I
believe it was.
I doubted it because it sounded too good to be true. It was in Poland, but the guy walked in and said, what are you doing here?
And
she said, what are you doing here?
Exactly. I hear they're now getting a divorce.
Which is weird because they're perfect for each other.
Yeah, no kidding. He likes whores and she is one.
Right. Right.
Just hire her and they'd be happy. Keep the money in the family. All right, let's go to John, who's calling from Highland Park. Good morning, John.
Hey, what a food, net food, and what a do, baby boo.
What a food,
John. Baby foo, you mean?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Hey, well, anyways, I had a run-in with Scientologists yesterday. I was trying to find their old original building. I guess now I found it on Sunset. But it was at the Manor Hotel. And they treated me and my wife like we were red-handed freckled stepchildren with glasses from New Jersey. They had security follow us all over the place. And I said, all I want to know is, where are you guys at? Your other building at? And then when I get there, they made a phone call out there, and I said, aren't you guys always trying to recruit people to brainwash them or something? And they go, no. I go, well, either way, you're always trying to recruit people for your organization, right? She goes, yeah. I go, well, then why are you people so mean and rude and crude to everybody all the time? You know, I was asking a simple question because I got lost and I burned up a lot of gas, and they gave me a bunch of run around and they followed me.
Everyone did they ever get a chance to answer?
Dude, they were right. Whoever they called, they were right.
Seriously.
You're freaking me out.
Am I that crazy?
Yes. I would join Scientology before I joined whatever organization you're with.
We're just saying, lay off the meth.
No, it ain't meth, man. I've just been taking my other medication.
Yeah, you're not on enough medication.
Enough, yeah.
All right. You hold on.
I'm going to put you on hold, perhaps,
wow.
But thanks for calling.
Wow. Usually you have to find a guy like that pushing a shopping cart to have that kind of conversation.
How long has it been since we've sided with Scientology?
Right. Whoever it was, called the cops. You were right.
Mike in Monrovia, good morning.
What it do, Ness? What it do, baby boo?
What it foo?
I have a little celebrity side.
Yes.
Hillary
good.
Duff.
Hillary Duff,
Ralph. This one's for you.
I love me some Duff.
We were driving down Hollywood Boulevard, me and my coworker, and she pulled up right next to us at the stoplight. We were stopped for about 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We're waving, trying to say hi, be real nice. She won't even look, won't even say hi, nothing.
Yeah.
Typical, we expect it.
Bitch.
No.
How dare she?
You guys,
hold on a sec.
That's typical female. We don't look.
I know. That's true.
When guys are making asses of themselves in the car, you just don't look. That's
because you're afraid
rule.
To. You don't want to encourage them.
Exactly. They're
making asses of themselves. Just trying to be nice.
You guys are, you know.
Pull
guys.
Down your pants every once in a while.
Exactly.
Women get mad. Give them the pressed ham.
Mike, I'm going to.
That's right. That's not what they're worried about, by the way.
Suggest that maybe a celebrity is not on duty 24/7, is not really required to entertain you and your friends
How
at a stoplight.
Dare you? Of course she is.
That's true. Anyways, so
you wanted to call to let Ralph know. I got you. All right. Thank you for the call.
I think if you're Hillary Duff and you're by yourself in your car, especially, and some guys start making noise over you, don't want to make eye contact.
I'm not looking either.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, you know what's going to happen. It's not going to be good. You know that for a fact. Alex in Ontario. Good morning.
What's up, foos?
Hi, Alex.
Nicely done, Alex.
It's time to call India.
Time to call India.
What's
all right.
India?
Good. We love it. Fantastic.
The monkeys officially killed Unofficial.
Oh, damn it. We already called India for that story.
Yeah, this is an old story, dude.
Oh.
No, it just happened last week.
Again?
They killed another official?
This actually happened. He was shooing them away off his balcony and he fell off his...
That's the same story.
Same story we read.
We already called.
I think you're late coming to this one, dude.
They don't know much about that story, unfortunately. Not that we knew because we didn't talk to anybody, but...
Well, that's why you got to call again.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they need to do. Call a foreign country again, because those segments always go really well.
That's good advice. We'll do that. Thank you.
Do you know about the monkeys and the balcony?
Where was it that we met the super hot chick that gave us all the details? Where was that foreign country?
You mean what country did we call?
Yeah, what's the story?
I think had luck in Japan, I think it was.
Hey!
In Japan? I think it was.
It always works. When we call foreign countries, it's always
good. We should
call
India just to thank them, I think. That's what we should do.
Oh, that's
good. They do great work.
We would never stoop that low.
No, they do good work. We would
never
call them and thank
them. That's ridiculous.
Let me thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Justin Bartha, the actor from National Treasure Book of Secrets, in theaters now. Check that out. Also, actress Lena Headey. She is the star of Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles, and that debuts Sunday night, January 13th at 8 o'clock on the Fox Network. Ralph, your boyfriend Andrew Siciliano was on the show today. He can be seen nowhere and heard nowhere.
That's correct.
So,
he's still on radio.
He does Fox Sports, I
but,
believe.
But not you can hear in L.A., though, right? I don't think he has an affiliate in L.A.
I think you may be right, but
yeah,
still.
I think that's the problem, which is a shame, too, because the dude is brilliant, and he made some good football picks today. And also thanks to Ed O'Brien for joining us, too. He is the rhythm guitarist for a little group called Radiohead, and their album is currently number one in America on the charts. It's called In Rainbows. Don't forget, Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, we kick off, I believe, details on the next world tour, which involves seeing Radiohead in concert. So you definitely want to come on back for that.
I want to thank Taylor Hawkins, too, for calling.
Oh, that's right. Taylor Hawkins.
Oh, I forgot.
Go see the Cops tonight. Right? Tonight?
Yeah, in Northridge. What was the name of that
Harper's.
Bar? Let's start this again. Because
Harper's.
Harper's was the name of the bar in Northridge, and he's a member. He's playing the drums with a group that does just police covers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're normally called Fallout, but when he's there, they're called the Cops.
That's correct.
Right.
So. Harper's Bar, 19333 Business Center Drive, Northridge. Call 818-349-3474. Going on stage around 9:30. Thanks to Taylor Hawkins, and we'll see him on Monday along with the rest of the band known as the Foo Fighters.
Breakfast with Foo Fighters on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
Why?
Ha!
Just like the other one.
Do you have any marijuana?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Why?
And I need another hit.
I believe our friend Jed the Fish is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. We'll play some Radiohead for you. Also, Green Day, that song from Finger Eleven, Incubus, Foo Fighters, yes, and more. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
What was that?
roll another one.
Stupid hair. What grown man has blonde hair?
Just like the other one.
God damn it, I love pot.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
I don't have another cent.
Hey, what kind of shit is this?
It's the best, man. I got it from a Negro.
Marijuana is delicious.
What was that?
Just pass it around.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Nonsense and right now. Let me tell both of you all something right now. It stops right now. If I gotta come back in here, prepare to feel the pain.
Cut, print, gay.
They came to party and they were disappointed.
Okay. Quit gawking. Show's over. Nothing to see here. Get about your business, huh? Go on.
I can't do this. I'm out. I'm done. I'm leaving. I don't want to do this. I'm leaving. I'm not doing it. No, I'm not.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.